today in my TV room then. I could be making an extra $1,000 a week. Jesus, I missed my calling.
Put me on the cover of Donor Monthly MVP.
He'll be out in 1 minute and 30 seconds, I guarantee.
That'll be $200.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
The son of a beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live 4 hours every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's right.
Turn your radio down.
That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Is this going to be a good day? 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 No, I don't think so.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, the whole time I was in California, I just kept thinking, what is Phil Hochberg doing right now?
Who is thinking of you?
And incidentally, check out my brand new line of t-shirts and bracelets that say WWPD. What would Phil do? Here he is now, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Yeah, I hear you two are big Redskins fans. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. The Gift of Mimicry and all the ships at sea. I believe it was the great Jim Source who said, they could be home right now having sex and steak, but they're here to give you the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie.
Right on.
And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody, coast to coast and nationwide. And this is a nationally syndicated show via Westwood One. Now, stop laughing. I know the stock is worth nothing, but Westwood One is still a viable syndication company. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara, right here. Our telephone number, 877-365-3636. The phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
877-365-3636. As I wait for the Mets to win one game.
Good luck.
So I don't have to sit on a toilet on Thursday. Let me just say,
welcome to my world.
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world. I might be sitting on a toilet Thursday.
Come on in.
In Midtown Manhattan. Wow. Come on, Mets, win one game.
Miracles, I guess.
Man, I tell you, who'd have thunk it? Well, I guess a lot of people.
Friggin' Roger Clemens. Not over yet, Mike.
Really?
Step into my heart.
If you're going to win a baseball game, you start by throwing a jagged piece of wood at the opposition's star catcher.
Come on, Mets. I don't want to sit on the commode Thursday. And, of course, the show is built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
Yeah, so not looking good for the Mets now.
Right.
That's the lead story.
That is the lead story, and you know, I'm thinking really now there is a possibility that on Thursday you could be sitting on the toilet, and the only difference in our bet, if it's a sweep, is you'd have to say, every time I asked you to, you'd have to say, I'm a pretty girl.
That's right. And like all of our bets, I'm pretty much thinking that there's a good chance I'm going to lose now since the Mets are down 2-0.
Right.
But all I want to do is postpone sitting on the toilet in Manhattan at least by a week. I mean,
right.
So the Mets have got to win tomorrow night, or they've got to win Wednesday night when we're going to be at the game.
Well, let me explain to you why I cannot lose this bet now. Because once again, I've done very poor planning, and now I simply don't want to take my shirt off. But I will show you the reason why. Because if I take my shirt off now, my chest will look like this.
Oh, no!
Where I have been shaved after my echocardiogram today.
Oh, please, let's not start another show with medical news.
I'm sorry, I had a little test done, and they shaved me, and then he just sanded my chest, and it hurt. It hurt real bad. It sucked.
Come on, let's go, Mets. Let's win tomorrow night. Let's win on Wednesday night, just to avoid the toilet on Thursday.
And, you know, I'll let you say that. I met a couple of Red Sox fans over the weekend, and I'm low-key in this.
Okay. However, the other bet that we have, the presidential election bet,
yes.
Feeling good about that, and I have some gifts, Mike. The reason, one of the reasons that I went with Bush, besides the fact that, you know, I'm anti-Lieberman and the whole thing.
Well, and you've always, I mean, for as long as I can remember, you like Bush.
Yeah. Well, also, when I announced I was ready to switch my affiliation from the Democrats to the Republicans,
right.
The Republicans came in, they gave me a membership card,
yes.
They invited me to speak at a rally. As it turns out, I couldn't do that because that's when I was out sick, more medical stuff. But I came in today, and God love them, they keep sending me free stuff.
I'd like to point out once again that the Democratic Party hasn't sent me jack.
Now, not only do I have, and I have one for you also, they've already had the Bush-Cheney inauguration T-shirts made up.
Wow.
I've got one of those for you.
Okay.
There you go. One for you and one for me. I also have, for each of us, the official Bush-Cheney shirt.
Thank you.
Okay. And this maybe is the nicest touch of all. They sent like 8 million of these badges. Okay, we don't need no stinking badges. But what they did was they made a special badge for you, Mike.
Okay.
And let me find it here. Hold on a second.
Oh, good. I get a special badge. Well, the Democrats aren't sending me anything. And, I, you know, I'd put, if they send me stuff, I put the bumper sticker on my car. I'd do it all, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go begging.
Right from the Republican Party, as you can see, it's a special personalized button that says, Mike O'Mara supports G.W. Bush for president. And it's not cheesy.
It's a real, this is a collectible forever.
It's a real campaign badge.
That is too funny.
Great. And they sent one for me also with my name on it.
I'm telling you, this is the last days before the election. Yeah. The Democratic Party has to get their act together. Look at all the toys. Look at all the stuff, and we haven't gotten anything.
Oh, they sent me a refrigerator magnet, a bunch of buttons. And watch out, everybody, because I'm going to be in the parking lot during the commercials, putting these bumper stickers, Bush Cheney, on everybody's cars.
Oh, no.
Now, Don, don't you put that on my car.
Okay, David Haynes, I won't. Anyway, how funny is that they actually had, seriously, they had buttons made up. Mike O'Mara
supports G.W. Bush.
That is good.
Oh, that is funny. And thanks a lot. I have to say thank you, too, since they sent me some gifts.
Oh, that is grand. Now, listen, I, of course, was not here Friday because I was out in California during the King of Queens experience. Mike was not here because he was doing the President Cup announcing stuff. I got so much stuff to tell you about my trip to California that I don't know where to begin. However, I got to start with a call to Leah because now is the only time
that we can talk to her,
that she has time in her busy schedule to take a call from us. Okay?
It was a happening weekend for both of us.
Sure
yeah,
was.
Was treated real good by King of Queens.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you had a good time out there.
Except by that director.
Yeah, well, that's, we knew that was going to happen. Once you told me, when I talked to you over the weekend, you told me it was him. You know, no surprise there.
Wait till you hear. Well, I don't want to say anything with Leo on the phone.
Okay.
About our phone conversation.
Our phone conversation.
That we had.
Yeah, we gotta save that for private.
You know, I can't get it. Hey, is Chuck Broyhill in the house?
Oh, Charlie.
Hey, Chuck, would you call her up, please, on 444 and just put her on hold and you get her?
But the bottom line out of all of this is that you got your line, you got your speaking
part.
Yes. You're in the scene for a good long time, and we're going to see you on that episode.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, when I got out there, the assistant director, or whatever his name is, the associate director, he switched my line around. He said, listen, the line that we gave you is okay, but if you use this line, we're going to switch you to another guy in this scene, then it's going to be just you and Kevin James in this scene alone, and you get to hang around for the whole rest of the scene and play act while all the other guys are having their lines.
And, you know, acting's not just delivering the lines. It's the way you act when you're not delivering the lines.
And listen, I don't want
reacting.
I don't want to say anything about my performance. I will let Leah describe my performance to you.
I will simply tell you that I know what your line is. You shared it with me, I think, over the phone and also up in the office. And I thought you delivered it quite naturally. It was much more natural than the other line that we thought you were going to have.
All right, well, I'm trying myself again. Since I guess Broyhill's...
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Still out the lunch.
Leah is not available at the tone. Please record your message.
All right, well, never mind. Charlie, try to get her online. Let me just start by telling you the funniest thing that happened. I'm going to do this kind of out of sequence.
Okay.
Was at about 6 o'clock... Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Here he comes.
Anytime after 4.
Oh, after, so she changed it.
Yeah.
Now. Okay, gotcha. Okay. The funniest thing that happened was, I'm waiting. Of course, we're out there. We're on the set for 14 hours.
Yeah.
This TV show, that to make a 22-minute TV show, it takes them roughly 14 hours to get it right. I'm not exaggerating when I say we got there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we did not leave until after midnight on Friday night, till they were done with everything.
Wow.
So one of these big spaces where I'm just killing time, I called Mike up to tell Mike that I had heard him on TV, you know, doing the announcing for the President's Cup, and we started talking about some stuff, and we started talking about Leah's mother, who was there,
been there every time we've been out there.
Yeah, and I had a less than warm reception from Leah's mother.
I think I said to you on the phone, shocker.
Yeah. So as we are discussing this, and I was in a little dressing room with the door closed,
right.
But I was speaking, and because I was talking to Mike, I was rather animated and speaking rather.
I was laughing and getting the reviews of bumping into the director and also Leah's mom.
Yeah, I said, you know, listen, the first thing the director said when he saw me is, "Hi, douchebag."
Welcome.
Yeah, nice guy.
And I mentioned that Leah's mom is a CU in Toledo. And I said it real loud.
Right.
And then,
I shared with you that I think that maybe they ought to put her in some kind of institution or something.
No, exactly what you said was...
She should be institutional.
If Leah wasn't her mother on a TV, if her daughter wasn't on a TV show, she would be institutionalized.
She's just not... I don't know if she does it because she thinks she's being funny, or if she does it because her daughter's the star of the show, but her whole rap is kind of the curmudgeon-y, says what she feels, you know, she won't laugh, she'll say kind of rude things, and just, you know, go on with life like nothing has happened.
So I had just called her the C word, and I'm laughing with Mike, and I'm repeating what Mike says to Frieda. I said, hey, listen, Mike says if Leah wasn't her daughter, she'd be institutionalized. And I'm laughing up, and all of a sudden I hear...
at the door.
Knock on the door, and it's a guy with a headset, and he comes in and he goes, "Shh, they're taping a scene right over there, and everybody can hear you through the door." Now nobody said anything to me,
right?
Specifically, so I think what they probably just heard was
the
hopefully my very loud voice.
Hopefully they didn't hear what, because seriously, if they'd heard it, it would have been the end of your stay, I think.
Yeah. So listen, let me just a couple of highlights, and then I'll pick it up with Leah when she calls in. Leave here Friday, Thursday rather, we do the show, I'm getting on a plane to go out there. I'm at the airport, and the plane is supposed to leave at 9. Well, the plane is pushed back to 9:15, and I'm wondering why. I'm thinking it's all those problems that Buzz had mentioned, that they're having some kind of air traffic controller thing on the West Coast.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, the plane is late because... damned apes! Because Charlton Heston is flying on this flight.
Oh, my
and they are,
God.
And they are holding the flight...
For Charlton Heston?
Charlton Heston. And Charlton Heston, no one can get on the airplane until he gets on first.
Why?
Damned apes!
Who the hell is he? I didn't think they did that for any celebrities.
Well, they did it for him.
Well, that sucks.
And, listen, I don't know if he's got a gunshot wound or something from the NRA, but he's walking with a giant gimp.
Well, maybe because he's 130 years old.
That could be.
So he's such an old man. How'd the toop look?
Not good.
No, it never
not
does.
Good. It was almost a Steve Allen variety, very reddish in color.
Yeah, it looked like it, you know, maybe needs a good washing.
Yeah, like a muskrat on his head.
Strong.
So he makes his way.
When people get older, did it look almost like his head had shrunk, but the toupee had stayed the same size, like it was maybe a double XL and he didn't really need it?
That I don't know. I just know it looked very, very unreal. Mm-hmm. And the color didn't match his skin coloring and everything else. So we got to wait for Charlton Heston to get on the airplane. And we're sitting there, and he finally gets on, and they let the rest of us on. And I was looking at him out of the corner of my eye. He was sitting in the next aisle over. And there were a bunch of other, I wish I could tell you these guys, a bunch of, I don't know if they were congressmen or senators or whatever, but a bunch of whoop-de-doo guys, a bunch of political guys.
Muckety-mucks.
Yeah, and they were all saying stuff like, hey, our guy's up 11 points in the poll, and Charlton Heston was leaning over and saying, you know, damned apes. And I was just in the middle of this, observing this, when all of a sudden one of them said to me, this guy I was sitting next to, and I wish I could remember this guy's name, he's a guy I see on TV all the time, a famous political type,
right?
He says, you're Don, right, from Don and Mike's show. I said, yeah, hi, nice to meet you. He says, hey, Charlton, come here. I want you to meet this guy.
Oh, my God.
Big Bush supporter. Right?
So I was like, Oh my God, welcome to hell.
How you doing, damn apes?
Yep, you know, you're in the right, you're in with the right boys
right
now.
So I shake his hand, and he says, nice to meet you. And here's all I can think of to say. Loved you in Planet of the Apes. Oh, yeah. That's all I can think of. What did I say to him, you know?
Soylent Green is people.
You didn't mention Soylent Green, huh?
No. For me, he's always Planet of the Apes.
Right. And how did he react to that wonderful compliment?
He just looked at me.
Right.
He just looked at me and said, nice to meet you. And then he went back to his seat, and the flight continued, and we got out to Los Angeles.
Sounds like maybe you were hanging out with some of the NRA's finest.
When the plane landed, again, everybody had to wait for, you know, Mr. Planet of the Apes to be wheeled off first. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't wheeled off, but, I mean, he was hobbling very slowly to get off the plane. He had a little, what do you call it, his giddy-up? What do you say when he's got a little...
Gimp in his giddy-up?
Yeah, he was moving rather slowly.
A little hitch in his giddy-up?
That's it, his giddy-up. And Frida was standing out there by the gate. It was obvious she was perturbed because the plane was late and the doors hadn't opened. And as I made my way, I walked past Charlton Heston and got down to Frida. She said, why is the plane late? I said, well, the plane's late because Planet of the Apes back there. I don't know if he heard me or not. Frankly, I don't think he hears much these days.
Right, probably not.
But we got into the car and we drove to the hotel. Now, you know, Frida went out there a day earlier with a friend of hers, and they were going to stay, like, at the Beverly Hills Hotel or some crap like that, and I requested for the two nights, Thursday night and Friday night, that I was going to be there, that we just stay close to the Sony studios.
Right.
That we just be as close as possible to Sony studios. So we stayed at the Culver City Hotel.
Now, your wife had mentioned last week that she was finally happy because that is the same hotel where the Munchkin stayed during The Wizard of Oz.
And it is a freaking dive.
Oh,
I mean, it's below dive.
Really?
To call that a dive, the hotel I stayed at is an insult to Motel 6.
Really?
Wow. Right? I mean,
I know the neighborhood around the studios,
but listen,
not the best.
If you want to get laid, or you want to buy some crack, or you want to buy a gun, it was the perfect neighborhood to be in.
The place to go.
The perfect neighborhood. So we get to this hotel, and we check in, and you know, she's been staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and she can't believe that we're staying at this flea bag. I said, well, honey, it's just because tomorrow I just want to... You know, I'm going to get like 5 hours sleep. I want to get up. I want to get right to the studio. So we get over there. We get over there on Friday morning. We show up at the right time, and it's exactly the opposite of the other times you and I have been out there.
You mean they treat you like a human being?
Yeah. We get to the front gate. They got my name on the list. They say, pull right through. Frida's driving it. She rented a convertible. We drive right through. Give us a parking spot.
That's good.
Right outside the big lot where they do the show there.
Excellent.
One of those fancy parking spots. We walk inside. And this was the only part where I really felt for a second that I wish I had you with me or Charlie with me, because we walked onto the set of King of Queens. I didn't know who to ask for.
Right.
Right? I'm not going to go up to that Pete Townsend director and say, hey, guess
no
what?
Way. No way.
I'm here.
Right.
So we went back and we just hid in Leah's dressing room and waited for her to arrive.
So you were there very punctual.
Yeah, I was there on time. She showed up about a half an hour later. She came in and there was a wonderful meeting between her and Frida. You know, no fireworks, no...
They didn't embrace?
No, there was... Well, yes, they did embrace.
That's good.
But it was not a lingering embrace.
Kind of like, hi, how are you, huh?
Yeah.
Here's the,
talked about shoes and junk like that. But for a brief moment of time, the two of them were actually sitting on Leah's couch together, and I was thinking I'm one step closer to this dream scenario.
Of the Donnie sandwich.
And then Leah said, where are you staying? And Frida said, oh, we're staying at this crappy hotel, the Culver City Hotel. And Leah's like, oh, that is like a whorehouse. Why don't you guys stay at my place?
Oh, my God.
And for just a second, I thought about taking her up on it, but I thought, you know what? She doesn't really mean that.
No, it's the token off.
She's saying that to be nice, so we turned her down, and she left to go do what she had to do, and then Frida left to go walk around and see what there was to see. So I'm just sitting in Leah's dressing room by myself, smoking a cigar, just killing time because I still don't know what I'm doing, when all of a sudden, through the door comes Vicky, Leah's mom.
Hi, Mom.
Right, and she comes through and she says, first thing, what are you doing here?
And I mean, she says it exactly like that. I know that she said it like that. That's her whole thing. You know, she doesn't pull any punches. It makes you feel real warm.
I'm not a guy. She says, what are you doing here? I said, hi, Vicky, I'm Don. She says, I remember who you are. Keep in mind, I got my hand out, and I'm like, I'm not getting the return handshake from her, okay? She says, what are you doing here? I said, well, your wonderful daughter has arranged for me to actually be on the show and have a line on the
show.
Was
your hand ever taken by her?
Never.
Not at all.
It was not taken. I said, your wonderful daughter has arranged for me to be on the show and get a line. And she said, oh, well, she's never done that for me. Ooh. I wonder how come I can't get a line on this show.
Oh,
right now, I don't know. In fairness, I don't know if this is just the attitude that she runs on people or if this is how this lady really is.
Whether she's joking. I've never had any indication that she's joking.
Right, and I certainly am not going to say any of this to Leah's face,
you know, because I don't want to hurt her feelings. Well, I find it weird. You know what I mean? I can't put my hands around it. I don't know why she behaves like this and what it's all about. If it's just the way she is, then I'm more concerned. If she's trying to be funny, that would at least be acceptable.
So then she sits down, and now it's just Leah's mother and me sitting in Leah's dressing room. And then you have 15 of the most uncomfortable minutes that you can imagine. She's not offering up any conversation.
Right.
So I'm saying stuff like, at one point I said, you know, your daughter is really a wonderful person. She's so down to earth. She's so nice. She's helped us out every time. She's, yes, she is. She's wonderful. And I said, And then there was a couple more minutes of awkward silence. And then I talked about Bart, and I mentioned that Leah has a sister who's 16, and perhaps, you know, I'm trying to just make small talk. I said, maybe we could hook the two of them up together. She says, oh, I don't think that would be a good idea. I'm biting my tongue. I'm not saying anything. And then finally, after about 4 or 5 more minutes of really no conversation, I just said to her, hey, Vicky, what, don't you like me? And she said to me, she looked me right in the eye, and she said, you've got a certain amount of meanness in you.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, this is a woman we've met twice.
Right.
And every time we've met her, you know, we've been exceedingly nice to her because she's Leah Remini's mother.
Yeah, and it is not an easy task. And it really is not.
And again, when she says this, I'm looking at her, waiting to see if she's going to crack a smile, whether there's going to be a follow-up line to this. Well, no, there's not. She just said, you've got a certain amount of meanness to you.
Wow.
And I had to bite my tongue, you know, from saying, well, yeah, that's the, you know, the pot calling the kettle black. I didn't say anything.
And it's just totally weird because you don't know what she's going for here. And if she's being serious, it's a horrible thing.
I don't know if she's busting balls or she's goofing around or what.
Yeah.
So at that point, I said, well, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go try to find my wife. And I'll see you later. Don't tell Leah I'm here. I said, okay, gotcha. She hasn't seen me for 3 weeks. Don't tell her I'm here. I said, okay, it's our secret. Nice seeing you. Bye-bye.
See you later.
I walk
Get
out.
Get me the hell out of here.
I walk out, I shut the door, and at that point I see my wife come around the corner, and I said to my wife, I said, hey, you wanna meet the biggest CU in Toledo in the world? And she said, who? And I said, Leah's mother. And she said, oh, come on, Leah's mother can't be that bad. And I said, listen, I don't know if she just hates me. I said, I know she treated Mike much the same way.
Yeah, she treated me exactly the
I
same
said,
way.
I don't know what the if she thinks that we're hangers-on with Leah or whatever. I said, but she's just not a nice lady. So I knocked on the door again. I brought her in and introduced her to Frida. And she was a little more civil to Frida.
Sure. Right.
But there was still that basic... attitude, maybe? I don't know what the word is.
Yeah, it's an attitude. You know what? I think the very first time we met her, she was kind of laughing at us. I mean, I seem to remember you know, it was more fun and more funny. And then the second time was horrible. And now you're describing what may be the worst of all.
I don't know.
You know, if we ever go out there again, I mean, she probably won't even speak to us.
I don't know. Frida said maybe she's resentful of the fact that you guys are out here because, you know, you're friends with Leah. I said, well, that's a two-way street.
Yeah, we're doing a radio show and promoting their sitcom like no radio show in the country does.
So Frida said, listen, let's just get out of here. Let's go walk around a little bit. Let's leave Leah's mother there. Forget about Leah's mother.
Maybe that was what would work with her. Maybe you look at her and you go, I'll tell you, we give plugs to the King of Queens television show almost on a weekly basis, and you know, especially when their premiere episode came on, we put both all the stars on. That's what we do, you know, to indicate to her that there is some you know, reciprocity here,
not just freeloading. So we went out and we walked around the back lots there where they were taping other TV shows. We walked around and we killed about a half an hour. We thought, let's go back and see what's happening. We walk into the set area again. Nobody's there. It's like it's a haunted house. There's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back again by Leah's dressing room because really that's the only place we know.
Right.
So we go back and we knock on the door and we open the door and Leah's mother is still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, hi. Oh, didn't mean to intrude. Just looking for Leah. Just trying to see where I'm supposed to be going. And at that moment, Leah came from around the corner and she said, now, keep in mind, we'd already seen Leah. She said, hi, how you guys doing? She goes, oh, Mommy.
Mommy's here.
And she jumped on the couch and started hugging her mother.
How did her mother respond to her?
Yeah.
How did her mother, when she had that mommy and the hugs, were there...
I don't remember exactly what the mom said.
Was there affection there? I mean...
There was a hug, yeah. There was a hug. It was mainly Leah doing the hugging.
That's what I would think.
It was Leah actually jumping on her mom.
Right.
And hugging her mom and stuff. And at that moment, I just said to Frida, I said, let's get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're gonna leave you girls alone. Leah, I just need to know where to go, but I'll figure that out.
Right.
You know, see you later. Bye-bye. And as we shut the door and we walked out, thank God we saw Kevin James, who could not have been nicer, who said, hey, nice to see you again. You got a line on today's show.
Right.
Fantastic. Hey, has anybody shown you your dressing room? And I said, no. And he said, well, follow me. So we come around the corner. We got a nice dressing room.
Was it Larry Romano's old dressing room?
Yes, it was, but they have refurbished it.
Where they fired him from the show?
Yeah.
I mean, see, he's no longer
He's
out.
Gone, and so is that other guy, Spence.
Spence is gone, too.
Right. They're both out of there.
Making room for Ricky Lake.
So Kevin James could not have been nice. You know, as was Leah. She was great. Everybody on that show, with the exception of the director, could not have been nicer to me.
Right.
At one point, the associate director came up and said to me, you know, listen, I'm going to switch your line in the scene because the line that they've given you, if you deliver that line, you're going to be in a group of guys, you're going to be in the back of the group,
right,
and then you're going to be whisked right off the stage.
That's the shorter guy, kind of a petite guy.
Yeah, the guy with like that 3-day growth of beard.
Yeah, real nice guy.
He said, I'm going to switch it around. I'm going to give you this other line so that when this big joke is played on Kevin, when the lights come up, you walk up to Kevin and you say, hey, Heffernan, looking good.
There you go.
And he says, and at that point, it's just you and Kevin in the scene.
Excellent.
And then you stay. All these other drivers, all these other extras, they're going to leave, and it's just going to be you and Kevin and two other guys in the scene. So I'm thinking, okay, this is aces.
This is the real deal.
This is really nice. And then we just waited. We waited like 6 hours to rehearse the scene.
Television is hurry up and wait.
And then we waited to tape the show. And in the meantime, I called Mike and had the loud conversation with him.
It was great.
I had, you know, we didn't get to talk to Jerry Stiller much,
right,
when we were there the previous two times. But this time, I was just walking around backstage by myself, and Jerry Stiller, who was wearing an old man undershirt.
Hi, you got circles?
He actually came up to me and said, hi. Who are you? And I said, I'm Don. He said, you've been here before. I said, yeah, I've been here before. He said, you're good. You're good in rehearsal.
There you go.
Good energy. I said, well, thanks very much. I said, we didn't really get to talk to you the other times we've been here. And then he said, would you like a soft drink? And I said, I'd love one. So Jerry Stiller brought me into his dressing room.
Right.
We sat down, we, you know, shot the bull for a while.
Oh, that is what that had to be, you know, really, cut through it all. That's kind of a thrill. You
that
know?
Was great.
I mean, because cool. He is the, you know, he's a big star.
Oh, yeah. And he was, again, he was very nice. All the people on the show were very nice.
You talk about the success of his son?
Yes, I discussed Ben Stiller. I lied to him. I said, I've seen Meet the Parents.
Right.
He said, did you like it? I said, oh, I loved it. Love Something About Mary.
Right.
I said, fan of the Ben Stiller show when sure. That was on TV. So all of that was great, and the problem with the taping of the show is that Kevin, the way it was explained to me by other people, is that Kevin peppers a lot of his comedy friends on this show.
Okay.
You know, much like Leo worked it out for me to be on this show, and you if you could have made it,
mm-hmm.
Kevin does the same with his comedian friends.
Yeah, he schmoozes them and gets them put on the show.
He gets them roles. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem once they started taping the show was that this one comedian in particular, and I think his name is Dom Arrera.
Oh, my God, Dom Arrera. Yeah, I know who you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, like he's an older guy.
He's a veteran. Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time.
He's a guy like who performs in the Catskills and stuff.
You know, I hate to say this, but he's like the poor man's Paul Rodriguez a little bit. You know what I mean? He's like not as famous as Paul Rodriguez.
And he's older than Paul Rodriguez.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there was one scene in which all of the guys in this UPS place are busting Kevin James' balls.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy had about 5 or 6 lines in the scene, and it took them 14 takes.
Oh, my God.
To get it correct. And this was with the audience sitting there.
Oh, that had okay? to suck.
So it's like they would do it, and this guy would blow his line. Then they'd say, cut, let's do it again. And, of course, when I say cut and do it again, they can't just start over. They've got the 10 minutes of crap of getting the camera set and getting
right.
everything. So this one scene took roughly 2 hours to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole time, we're just waiting, we're just sitting around. And it was at this point that I was sitting in one of those director's chairs, and Frida was sitting in the director's chair next to me, and Leah was sitting in the chair next to us, and it was the three of us sitting in front of a monitor. And Leah, again, could not have been nicer, introduced me to the executive producer of the show, the guy who invented the show. They were all real nice, real appreciative of the stuff that we do for them.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know, you're going to have a great time, you're real good in rehearsal, this will be great. Then I see Pete Townsend, the director.
Our buddy.
This guy who we know doesn't like us.
Our close personal friend.
And like I told Mike up in the office before the show, he'd made direct eye contact with me maybe 6 or 7 times earlier in the day and never said anything to me.
This guy does not want to have anything to do with the DJs.
No. So he comes over, and as he's making his way towards us, he sees me, and he starts to do a beeline the other way, like he's got something important to do. Leah says, hey, come here. Come here. You haven't said hi to Don yet. This is Don, and this is his wife, Frida. And the director looks at me, and he says, hello, douchebag.
Wow.
And, again, I don't know quite what to do.
Much like Leah's mom, you don't get the joke.
I said,
where's it coming from?
Right. I said, hello. And he said, douchebag. He said it again. And I didn't say anything back because I'm the guest. You know, I don't want to offend anybody.
What the hell is going on?
And it was obvious that it was an awkward moment, and he tried to pull it out of his ass, but he couldn't do it. He said, I was just thinking about back when Larry Romano used to be on the show. That's something he used to say all the time. How you doing, douchebag?
Uh-huh.
And hand. I just looked at him and went, uh-huh.
Not enough history there. Not enough familiarity there. You know, not a guy that really has nothing to say to us the last time to roll up with that. No,
so
thank you.
The stuff with Leah and her mom, I mean, that I'm not going to bring up to Leah when I do talk to her. But
right.
I am going to ask how come the director called me a douchebag.
Oh, absolutely.
Good idea.
But he walked away. And, you know, and I also noticed that he was heavily involved in every single scene in this show, like 13 different scenes, except for the scene that I was in.
Huh. Then he just was absent?
The scene that I was in was handled by the associate director.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it certainly could have been a coincidence. You know, I do think the world revolves around me. It could have been a coincidence, but it was weird.
Yeah, and with the guy with the track record, I mean, we were both aware of it the last time. And then that's what he greets you with the first time he sees you. You know, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But having said all of that, it was a great experience.
Good.
And the fact that I had a line on the show and that I was in rehearsal with the people who are on the show, the real actors.
Do you know yet when the episode's going to air?
No, I think maybe in December it's going to air.
Okay, very good.
But because I was lifted above the everyday extras
right.
that you and I had been in before,
sure.
it was real fun to see it from the other side.
I'm back.
And I took a real perverse amount of pleasure out of standing up on the stage when they were rehearsing, when they would just be talking to the extras like they were just the slug piece of meat that they are.
Right.
Okay, let's see. We need five more IPS guys in this scene. Let me see. No. You, no. Not you. You, not you, not you.
You. They're all sitting there eating their sandwiches or yeah. reading their books, yeah. right?
Okay, you five go to wardrobe. The rest of you have a seat in the bleachers. We'll let you know if there's anything we have for you. I mean,
they all get paid, right? They all get paid.
$50.
$50 for the day.
They get paid $50 for being there all day. So
great.
I got to see, you know, how we were treated in essence
yeah.
before, and the big difference. But the biggest thrill for me was when they had the read-through, which they do like a half hour before they're going to tape the show.
Right.
And what they do is they all get in the makeup room, and they actually have a fast read where they actually read through the entire script.
That's great. That's cool. That's the part we were locked out of last night.
Yeah, so they're all sitting around, and I was just standing in the back of the room since I only had one line.
Right.
And it was at that point that, again, Kevin James said to me, "Hey, what are you doing back there? Come up here."
Oh, that's nice.
Sit. So I sat next to Jerry Stiller
cool.
for the reading of the scene, and when I read my little line, you know, again, Jerry Stiller leaned over and said, "That's good."
That's great. That's terrific that they take the time to be that cool. I think that's great. More power to them.
Yeah. They were very nice, and then it was time to tape the actual show, and I had my Leah moment when, as they started to tape the show, I think she wasn't in the first scene, and of course I wasn't on until the very end of the show, until right. one of the final scenes, so I was just walking around in my UPS uniform.
Thank God. With long pants, right?
Yeah, thank God they didn't make me wear shorts.
Oh, really?
I got to wear long
now,
pants.
Now, were there any other people in the UPS uniforms with long pants, or were you,
no.
you were the only one?
Well, because I asked. I said when I was up in wardrobe, I said,
"Want long brown pants."
I said, "Do I have to wear the shorts?" And she said, "No, we have long pants."
Right.
I said, "Well, could I wear long pants?" It was like, "Well, hold on, I'll have to ask somebody."
There
you know, so that they, you know. All of the people there on the show validating their existence. You know,
how the audience like the show? Did the audience like the show? Big laughs?
Well, see what the audience was there for.
Did they bust in the senior citizens again?
The audience was there for 7 hours.
Wow. Okay,
so, you know, who knows how much they actually enjoyed the show. But it was a good episode.
Good day.
And as I was standing backstage waiting to finally do my scene at about 11 o'clock, Kevin came up to me, and he said again, he said, "Hey, listen, so glad to have you here. Thanks for everything you guys do for the show." And then he says to me, "You want to go to Vegas tonight?" And I said, "Gee, I don't know. My wife is here. Remember, you met her before?" He says, "Oh, she can come."
He goes to Vegas all the time.
He said, "Come on, I'm going to Vegas as soon as this is done." I said, "No, you know, I gotta get out of here as soon as we're done. But I really, I do appreciate it." And at one point, they only had to do our scene two times. There was
right.
only two takes for this scene. So as we were standing on the stage waiting for the second take, he came up to me again and he said, "Hey, listen, last chance, Vegas, how about it?"
Wonder how he gets to Vegas.
Well, I know how he gets to Vegas. I'll tell you in a sec.
Oh.
Because we got done with that scene, and then there were still three more scenes left to shoot. However, Kevin's part in the show was done. So what he did was, after they got done with the scene, he went back to his dressing room, put on his sloppy clothes, came out, got the microphone, spoke to the audience, said, "Hi, everybody. It's me, Kevin. Listen, my part in the show is done. I'm getting on a plane to go to Las Vegas right now. My plane leaves in 45 minutes, but I want to tell you, the rest of the show is going to be great. You're really going to love it. Have a great time. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye."
And he's out of there.
And he's out. And the audience laughed.
Off to Las Vegas.
Because they thought it was a joke.
But then he's really leaving.
No, it's not a joke.
So he didn't come out for the curtain call at the end.
No, he was gone.
Did you get a curtain call at the end?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
Yes, I did. And I was the first one brought out.
Ah.
You know, lowest man on the totem pole.
Sure.
And they said, "Welcome your cast and crew." So it was a... It was a really great experience.
Did you take a private little hop over to Vegas, or do you think he flies commercial?
I found out that it is a plane that he rents.
Wow.
That it is a six-seater that he has that flies out of some airport by LAX.
Wow.
And he just, it wasn't like he had to leave to make a commercial flight on time. Right. He wanted to go. He wanted to get to Las Vegas like by 12:30.
Very cool.
So I thought that was the funniest part of all, that the star of the show.
Hey, it's the end of his work week.
You know, just decides, listen, that's it. I mean, you know, he could have stayed until they were actually done with the whole show.
No need, got to get to Vegas.
He just came out and said, "Listen, everybody, that's it." And the audience laughed like he was telling a joke. And then he just dropped the microphone and... ran.
And that was the last you saw of Kevin Sabian.
And he actually ran off the stage and that's it. He was gone.
That's great. Wow.
And he's gone. He's gone. He's gone.
And he enjoyed his weekend in Las Vegas.
And then Fried and I left. We did get a half-hearted invite from some people to go out afterwards and do something. But at that point, it was like midnight. And
a long day.
We were butt-ass tired.
Sure. It's got to be tough.
So we just went back to the crack house we were staying in and slept for a couple of hours. And then
got up and got the plane
and out of there, gone. Now, Frida does have her own celebrity sighting to tell you about.
Mm.
And I'll wait until I call her later and tell you about her celebrity sighting. The only complaint I had on the flight back was the fact that the guy who sat next to me, and I guess maybe this happens whenever you're flying from Los Angeles to anywhere, the guy who sat next to me is one of these guys who, before the plane took off, was on a speakerphone, on his cell phone the whole time. And while he's talking, and I didn't know if it was fake or not, it was, he'd be sitting there, he'd speak very loudly, where he would dial up a number on his phone, and then the conversation would go like this: "Hi, it's John. Listen, I'm sorry about that conversation last night, but you really have to fax me those scripts immediately."
Oh, like L.A. man.
Yeah.
Okay.
"Those scripts must be in my hotel room when I arrive. Thank you." And he hung up. He made like four or five power calls like that.
Yeah, just loud and doing it when he's around people. They do that all the time.
And, you know, maybe the guy was making legit calls, but I had the feeling that he was making it up.
It was David Kelly.
It was a gut feeling I had. So the plane takes off, and the first thing this guy does is he had these little happy boots, these boots that go just like above his ankle. Mm-hmm. The first thing this effort does is unzip his boots and take his boots off.
No, that is the worst on an airplane.
And we were both sitting in the very front row where you've got that little wall in front of you.
Right. Now, did your wife stay longer or did she leave at the same time?
Of course she stayed longer.
She stayed overnight.
Yes. More time for her to enjoy the amenities of Los Angeles.
Did she go into another hotel after that?
Oh, they went to a nicer hotel on Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
So this guy immediately, I mean, before the plane takes off, he takes his shoes off and he puts his stocking feet up on the wall.
So inconsiderate.
And when the stew comes by, when the waitress comes by, and she wants to ask if you want a drink or something before you're going to take off, then she gives you like the menu with the choices of the stuff that you can eat. While this guy is talking to the stew, and of course he couldn't just order off this little menu.
No.
Where you had like a choice of potato salad or a soup or I don't know, some kind of chicken Caesar salad. He wanted to know if he could get his salad with a special vinaigrette dressing, and he didn't know if in fact that this would be right for the diet he was on. While he's having this conversation with the girl, he takes his foot off the wall, he sits up, takes his sock off and starts to scratch his foot.
Ah. Oh, my God.
While the waitress...
At any point did you think maybe I should say something to Pig Boy?
No, you know, because frankly, it's been like the third person in 24 hours has treated me like crap, and this guy doesn't even know who I am. Just the guy, you know, I thought, how uncouth is this?
Right. Yeah, he's guy, like, I don't care about other humans because right. I'm just Mr. Power.
The plate's not even taken off, he's got his shoes off, and then while he's ordering his food... He actually takes his sock off.
And scratches his feet.
And starts scratching his feet.
Did he rub between the toes?
No, it was just on the ball of his foot.
Johnny.
That's where he was scratching. It was just the grossest. And I had, the only moment that I had at his expense was when the stew brought the food about a half hour after we took off. As she gave him his tray, and then she gave me my tray, when she leaned over, he had headphones on, when she leaned over, she said, would there be anything else? I just said to her, hey, did you notice? This guy was scratching his feet before we took off. Hasn't been to the bathroom to wash his hands yet. He just laughed.
That's gross.
The stew, the waitress just laughed.
Gross, gross, gross.
Yeah, but that was it. It was a great time, actually, and I think I did pretty good on the show.
Sounds like it.
I think I did pretty well on the show, and I'm sorry that you weren't there because I was treated so much nicer.
Oh, that's great.
Than the way that you and I have been treated.
I'm glad you had a good time out there, even with Pete Townsend, the director.
Yeah, it was absolutely an outstanding weekend. And I do know that Frida's got a couple of things to tell you, and I want to talk to Leah, and then I want to talk to you about your President's Cup.
What a weekend.
Wow. Yeah, as a matter of fact.
What a weekend.
Well, we turned the TV on Friday morning in Los Angeles. I told you this when I caught you on the phone. They didn't do it live. It was a three-hour tape delay.
Right.
So we were actually at 8 o'clock. L.A. time on Friday morning.
I was jacked to hear that you got a chance to see the rebroadcast on TNT, which, and I'm always, you know, always the TV savvy guy. You know, I got some of the stuff recorded. There's a lot to record, obviously. Right. Recorded over the TNT spot. So I'm gonna try to retrieve that by talking to, you know, see how I can get the copy of that, because that to me really was the most fun when they rebroadcast it, when they played it, when I saw it back on tape. But, you know, was on TNT, was on NBC both days. And,
sure was.
It was Oh, well, I mean, I'll tell you all about it.
The first day, though, Fred and I laughed just because you were using your real grown-up voice.
I used my real grown-up voice all weekend.
Yes. We were waiting. She said, well, when do we get to hear Mike? I said, as soon as the guys come up to the tee. I said, okay, quiet, quiet. Here he is. So we're sitting in this crappy hotel room waiting to hear you come on, and we hear... from Orlando, Florida. Tiger... Words.
As straight and as dignified as I could possibly be.
And I said to Frida, I said, his a-hole is so puckered right now.
You could not be more correct.
I absolutely knew it.
I have been...
To bounce a BB off your a-hole.
I have been more nervous. I don't really remember when. I really don't. I mean, It was one of the, you know how big a golf fan I am. It's one of the greatest moments of my life. It was so cool to be part of this. And you don't realize until... Oh, about 30 seconds before you got to do what you have to do, exactly how big a deal it is. And you see the dignitaries coming up on the first tee, and you see, you know, then the players arrive. And, I mean, I met more people this weekend. You know, it just was, it was the thrill of my life. I couldn't believe that on the same day I had the opportunity to introduce Tiger Woods and, you know, former President George Bush, you know, in the same venue. And when you said my big boy voice, I used that voice all weekend, because, I mean, I just wanted, you know, it was explained to me that's what they want.
Everybody, an example. Use your big boy voice.
I'm going to bring in tape tomorrow.
But give us a live one now. Give us a live one.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, David Duval. And that I did that every single time.
Frida and I both boxed the gun.
I know.
Not because you did a bad job.
No, I know what you mean, but it's so unlike me. You know, it's so unlike me. I call my mom, my 80-year-old mom, and I say to her, hey, did you, you know, because I told her when it was going to be on. She said... She said, yes, I watched the whole beginning of the tournament. I said, so what do you think? She said, Which one was you?
Oh, that's cold when your mom says that.
She didn't recognize me. I said, I'm the one, I'm not like up in the TV tree. I'm the one that's actually announcing the players. And what's very cool about this is that they come up to you and they say, all right, they want a beat between, you know, you have to introduce observers and referees, and then they want a beat for the network. And when they said that, that was Friday morning, when they said that, you talk about the pucker factor,
yeah.
That's when it went like that. I said, we want a little beat so that they can be up in the TV tower, and then they can wait, and then cue you to do the announcing. And I'm standing right up on the tee. I didn't get a lot of TV exposure time. My voice was on all over the place, but I didn't get a lot of TV time. But I got a chance to really just hobnob with the players and just watch what they were doing. And the last thing you're going to do when you're in that situation is, say, hey, you know, hey, Phil Mickelson, you know, how you doing? Those guys are extremely focused, and they don't want to, but you're so close. The only thought I had a couple of times is the caddies would come up with the golf bags for all these tour pros, and they'd literally lay them all at my feet. And I'm sitting there on a couple of, you know, once I relaxed a little bit, I'm looking down at this bag going, that's a heck of a nice little sandwich here, Mr. Scholarship winner. What if he missed that if I just slipped that out of the bag and put that in my back
pocket? So you stole no souvenirs?
I stole no souvenirs. I was given a PGA Tour pin to put on my lapel by the PGA guy that I was working with, a guy named Steve Markham, who did a great job. They do not give you any room for error when they're with the PGA Tour. Everything was written down. Everything was put right in front of my face so that I'd get it exactly right. The only thing I had to do is that you have a lot of people that are honorary observers that walk along with the tour pros, and those kind of come on at the last second. And Dan Quayle was one of them yesterday. And I think he was an observer. They
have so you couldn't make any jokes.
I couldn't make
you
any
couldn't
jokes.
Like, hey, here's the damn dummy.
I am sure that I could have made jokes if I'd wanted to on Friday. I just would not have been back on Saturday to do any of the announcing. But, you know, one of the biggest thrills was the Ken Venturi, who was president of the captain's team, wanted, and I don't know if anybody noticed when they were watching on TV, they had black ribbons in memory of the sailors that were killed on the USS Cole. Well, they gave them to the players, and I think that I think at a certain point on the weekend they were available to the public too, but they gave them to everybody that was on the first tee announcing. They had one on my lapel. Well, on Saturday, George Bush arrives up on the tee. He's going to throw the
old George Bush,
George W.'s father, and he's going to do the coin toss. And this lady walks up to me and she says, you have a black ribbon. Do you think we could borrow? President Bush doesn't have one of the ribbons. Do you think we could use that one? What am I going to say? No, no, I'm going to keep this one. So
wouldn't be prudent.
You know, I'm happy to say that I was able to do that. And then I don't know if he put it on or not, but they took it and it was very cool.
What you're saying in essence is it was great.
It's the most respectable gig
to meet the father of the next president of the United States.
I wouldn't go that far, but it was a very great honor to meet the 41st president of the United States, George Bush. It really was. It was big fun. It was big fun.
You did good.
And then, later that day, well, I'll tell you a little bit more. It's very, very exciting.
You did good.
Thank you.
You really did.
Excellent.
And Borfrida, she actually thought I was serious. I guess when I was discussing to her, why this was a big deal to you,
mm-hmm.
and doing this whole announcing thing. I think I had said to her at one point, and just wait till he does the Charlie voice.
Everybody wanted that, too.
So she said to me,
ladies and gentlemen, from Bradenton, Florida, Paul Azinger.
She said to me, when's he going to do Charlie? I said, honey, there's not a chance he's going to do Charlie. He got the pucker factor times a million. He's got to introduce Tiger Woods today.
And that's the one, man. I mean, you see the whole thing changes when he arrives. You see more people coming up to the first tee. There are more people that are going to tag along. You know, he gets his own network guy, you know.
Right.
And our good friend Jim Gray says hello.
The gerbil.
Jim Gray and I became, buddy-buddy on the first tee because I saw him both Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And
almost stepped on him, didn't you?
Yeah, no, you know what? Are you ready for some bad news?
Don't tell me.
He's taller than I am.
Oh, come on.
He is.
Wow. Please, he's a Lilliputian.
He's not a short guy.
He's a midget.
And Ken Venturi and I chatted also. I had a lot of time talking to him. He's a great guy.
You and all your golf J.O. buddies.
Oh, my God. Jimmy Roberts, you know, the guy, another guy from NBC. We were hanging out. And,
I mean, it's the greatest. Hold on. We got to do a break. We'll take call 100 now. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Fantastic.
The caller 100 now. Well, give us one of those as we go to break.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Australia. No, I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Zimbabwe, Nick Price. And then my favorite one, and I'm not sure what town he was from, so I might get that right, but it might have been Ponte Vedra Beach, but ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Triplett.
You know, you're funny. I know that's a big deal to you.
Oh, it's
a huge,
biggest deal I've ever had. I loved it. It was great.
100th caller right now. Prize package selected especially for you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Camille.
For years, my wife has suffered from a medical condition.
It's called IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
It's not always an easy thing to talk about, but we are.
Because IBS strikes millions of people.
So if you have abdominal pain, bowel problems, don't get embarrassed.
Get help. IBS is a real condition, and there are ways to help manage it.
Don't suffer in silence.
Talk with your doctor.
Empty-headed ball busters allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, here we go with the call.
Number 100. Wrong line.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, hi, what's your name?
My name's Billy.
Billy, where are you from?
Portland, Maine.
Billy? You have won the DVD copy of Octopussy. The ultimate James Bond collection now available on VHS. Special edition DVD. Six classic 007 titles are now available. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
What's that tune you were playing just then?
It was
No, not you, sir. I didn't know you were playing a tune.
It's Ricky Martin.
I thought it might. It sounded Ricky Martin-esque.
She bangs.
I like that.
She bangs.
What's that say about me? I rarely ask you what the songs are, Don.
That's maybe the gayest video I've ever seen in my life. Until I do Ricky Martin video. And for everybody listening to us tonight on WNEW, same prize for you. Be the 100th caller now at 877-692-1027.
All right.
Caller 100 right now from New York. Let me try Leah Remini.
The lovely Leah Remini.
Now's the time she should be available to talk and give me some instant feedback.
Been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
No.
Mike.
Hello?
It's not available.
Mike. Mike's not available. That's not the right number. Unless she's got a real low voice and she changed her name.
All right. Let me try it again. So tough to get in touch with these Hollywood types.
Oh, yes.
This is the time she said to call.
Okay.
After she told us the time before to call.
Hello?
Hey, Leah.
Yeah.
Let me play you in.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program The King of Queens. Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, honey. You got to call me at home because this is my cell phone. It's going to go out.
Oh, I didn't know you were at home. All right, goodbye.
All right.
Bye. Charlie, I need that home number, please.
The lovely. From New York City.
I have it.
Leah Remini.
I have it. Where do I have it? Oh, okay. I see. He wrote it down for me.
Hold on. She's on line 4.
All right. Beautiful. Here she is now. TV's Leah Remini.
Hi.
Hi, darling.
Hi, baby.
Listen, what can I say? You know, I tried to tell you in person on Friday night, and you kept pushing me away.
Yeah.
When I kept telling you, really, how great you are, and thank you very much for hooking me up with that teeny spot on your show. I appreciate that.
Honey.
Really, I do.
Honey.
It was a big deal to me.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you calling him honey.
But Jamie, shut up!
Ooh.
Good.
Who's that, your new assistant?
Yeah, listen.
Yes.
What? No, you said teeny part. No,
Leah, you're so goddamn sensitive. That was not a slight. That was not a snub.
Okay.
I'm happy.
He's all jacked up. He's been talking about it for the better part of an hour. You know, he's thrilled at the opportunity. He had a great time.
What did I?
He didn't say one bad thing.
Only about the director.
Why was he not nice to you?
Well, hold on. What about that time that you and Frieda and I were sitting at that monitor?
Yeah.
And you called him over, and the first thing he says to me is, douchebag?
Yeah, but why did he say that?
Okay.
He's doing an imitation of Larry.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember Larry?
I remember Larry.
And then he realized that he,
he was being an idiot. Then he's like, oh, I miss Larry. So, like, he tried to explain why he said that.
Yeah, that was like a...
You don't think that he was maybe just wanting to call Don a douchebag?
I think that when people... Like, I think the one thing is, like, people try to be funny. You know what I mean? Like, they try... Like, when people think they know me, they walked up to me, hey, bitch, how you doing? You know, I'm like, what? What the hell?
Well, I don't know. That was the only disparaging thing I had to say, is when the... Okay. And I said that I thought he was, like, just trying to pull something out of his ass to come up with a way to...
Be funny.
No, to validate the fact that he called me a douchebag.
No, I think that he was trying to be funny. He knows you're, like, this mouthy guy, and he thought you'd be like, yeah, how you doing, jerk off? You know what I mean?
Well, whatever. That was my... Only complaint.
Okay.
The only complaint I had, I was thrilled with everything else. You couldn't have been nicer to me and to Frida.
Right.
We want to thank you for your hospitality.
Honey, I didn't do anything.
No.
You thanked me. I feel like, I didn't do anything.
No. You got me a role on the show, okay? Uh-huh. I didn't feel like one of those peon extras sitting in the bleacher.
Good.
Okay?
Okay, good.
And what did I tell you? At one point when you said to me and Frida, you said, is this worth it?
Right.
And I said, well, we've been here 12 hours. And Frida said, no, tell her the truth. And the truth is, yes, I'm jacked about it. I mean, it was a fantastic goof for me to go out there and do it.
Okay.
I loved it.
And you were great, by the way.
Yes, now that's what I wanted to discuss.
There you go. Nice.
That's what I wanted to discuss.
You know, sometimes you give people, like, a line or two, right? And they come out and they put the wrong inflection on the words, or they do some weird stuff. Like, try to make too much out of something, you know, especially when you only have one line, right?
Right, right.
And I don't even know if that constitutes as a line. That's kind of was like a half a line.
Yeah.
But you did so good. You just had the right amount of energy.
There you go.
You look like you belong there. You just did a great job.
Well, thank you. You did a great job.
Look at Kevin's friend, that guy, Mike, who has to say, hey, you want to go to the prom or whatever, remember?
Yes.
And, like, when we did the read-through, what'd he do?
Okay.
What'd he do, Don?
He didn't know his lines.
He didn't know his freaking line!
He didn't know his line?
He didn't know his line, but he wasn't as bad as the other guy.
Mike. He had one line, which was... Hey there, Heffernan, you want to go to the prom? No, he didn't even say Heffernan. He goes, hey, sweetheart, you want to go to the prom?
Oh, so right? He ad-libbed it? He like, wouldn't do what it was written as?
No.
What we do is, before the show, we have a read-through in the makeup room where everybody sits there getting their, you know, doing touch-ups for the show.
Right.
And we read our lines. But we don't have the script. You're supposed to be off-book.
Right.
So to speak. Right?
Sure.
At this point, being the show is in literally 20 minutes.
So he has one line.
Keep in mind, that guy had, just like me, one line.
Don, am I lying when I had speech after speech after speech after speech, right?
Yes, and you had it all memorized perfectly.
Right. So there I was, doing my stuff. We get to Kevin's friend, who has one line. Not only is he holding the script in his hand, but he has one line, okay?
So he's not supposed to be even holding the script at this point.
No. You're supposed to basically know your lines by Friday.
Especially if you have one.
Right. Okay. Right.
I was able to handle that.
You came in,
you told me originally that was going to be your line, and I think the whole staff here memorized that line.
Yes, we did.
Right.
But the prom thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was some confusion.
Hey, Heffernan, want to go to the prom with me?
Right.
Right.
So we get to his part, and we're all silent. Don does his stuff, hysterical, good, great energy, right?
Yes, a lot of people. Guy,
you have great energy and great wit.
We all look at him. The whole room is silent. And we look at him, and he goes, oh, and he starts wrestling with the script.
And he only had one line?
He had one line.
Oh, that sucks.
And Leah gave him the finger.
I did more than that. I go, schmuck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she got mad at him.
I didn't hit him, but I was busting his...
Although, you know what, Leah, really, he wasn't as bad as that other guy. Who's that guy?
That guy's a comic.
I know, but listen.
Dom Herrera?
When it was time for him to do his thing,
there
was like 14 takes.
Yeah, that's true.
On one scene, because the guy... And Frida said to me, when we were sitting there, she said, I don't even know anything about this. It's just, I've heard him try to do it so many times,
I know all the lines by heart now,
right?
And this guy continually kept effing up all these lines.
He's been on TV shows before.
I think he was nervous, and it was weirdness, right? Going, that was weird.
Well, listen, I had a great time.
My son did such a good job.
You couldn't have been nicer, and all those producers and all those, with the exception of that director,
yeah.
Everybody else came up to me afterwards and said, great, they said, great energy, really nice job. And,
right.
And I was just blown away by how nice everybody. I know the last time that we were out there,
yeah.
We spent a lot of time bitching about what a crappy time we had. And
right.
I've got nothing but great things to say. Thank you for being so sweet.
Honey, I could have been nicer. I wish I was more available.
Yes, you could have been nicer.
Well, you're working.
You could have, but you were busy. You had a lot of stuff to do.
That's true.
You're very, very busy.
I was very heavy in that script. I wasn't used to that.
I know. There's a couple of real sensitive scenes with Leah and with Jerry.
Yeah.
Really?
It was a father-daughter script.
Oh, you mean like the old kind of Archie, Sally Struthers scenes and All in the Family, right? Where you take the comedy moment and all of a sudden you have the tearjerker moment? Are we going to...
Don, do you think there was a tearjerker moment?
Will it be tears, Don?
I don't know if it's a tearjerker moment. I don't know if there would be tears, but yes, it was different for King of Queens.
It was moving.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a funny script. It was a real good show, I thought.
Good.
And I love you, sweetie.
And not only, of course, was Leah great to me. And as I mentioned, Kevin was very nice. I didn't even think I had a chance to tell you this, Leah, that I spent about 25 minutes with Jerry Stiller.
Oh, you did? Where?
When he stopped. He's walking around his undershirt.
Didn't he call you into his dressing room?
Yeah, he stopped.
Shut the door?
He stopped me and he said, hello. And I said, hi. And he said, you've been here before. You know, not remembering the fact that we had met him before.
Right.
And then he said to me, the same, a lot of people said, you were very good. And I said, thanks. And then he said, would you like a soft drink? And I said, sure. So I went and sat down with him, and that was a lot of fun.
There you go.
That's so sweet.
He was very nice. Was there anything between you and Frida at all? I mean, I know you're not a lesbian, and she's not a lesbian.
Right.
But was there any spark at all there between the two of you?
There's a spark.
Yeah.
I love waiting for the answer.
There was a spark.
Yeah, I don't know, sweetie. I was just so taken aback by her sweetness and how much she loved you. I couldn't get to that level.
Oh, the only thing
to bring it down to the gutter where you
to animal lust.
The only thing that people said to me, and they were being nice, but in a way it was a put down because I'm such a piece of trash. Like when who's your makeup girl? What's that girl's name?
Karina.
Okay, Karina. Right.
Yeah.
At one point, she walked by me and she said, "Your wife, she's so beautiful."
Right.
And she didn't say it, I interpreted...
She said it like... You felt like she said it like, the hell did you get her?
Listen, Jesus Christ, how does an idiot like you end up with a woman like that?
That's good, though. You can't be put down by that.
And more than one person said to me, "Well, is that your wife?"
Well, wouldn't you rather people say that than go, "Oh, okay, cool."
Yeah, it'd be better than somebody coming by going, "You're married to that?"
No, absolutely not. And Leah, listen, you could not have been nicer. Thank you again.
Well, I could have been.
No, you were fine.
I think that bottom line, you feel like I could have been.
You were busy. You had
right, but that's what I'm saying. You're saying that, but and then
you had stuff.
By saying that, you're saying you could have been nicer.
No,
you couldn't have been nicer because you arranged that for me to get that on that show, and for that, I thank you. I seriously thank you, and I seriously tried to thank you a million times.
I know, but I feel like I didn't do that much, and then when you say thank you, I feel guilty because I should have done more.
No, he's been raving about you, Leah. You should know that.
Yeah.
I mean, really, before we called
you. Why? Because I'll ask Charlotte to give me a copy of the tape today.
Well, come on. Why don't you believe me for once? Because you were nice, because you were raving.
Because I always feel like at the bottom line is I feel like I could always do more.
Well, okay. You could have, but it was fine the way it was.
So now the truth comes out.
No. Leah, no. I'm busting your balls.
No, I really feel you feel that.
No, okay.
What'd Frida say?
Frida thought you were wonderful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's no BS.
She said exactly what?
She said, "Leah is a wonderful girl."
Why? Why am I wonderful? What did I do that was so wonderful?
Okay, because
You were nice because when we came back to your dressing room, when you said, no, no, stay here. Make yourself at home here. Anything you need here, don't worry about
it. Don't you feel this way? I know I felt that way when I was out there, is that when you're doing that, when you're working and it's your work day, and I mean, that is your big night. I mean, you put all your energy into making that. I mean, that's your living. You got to deliver. I think the way you handle yourself with people, like friends coming in and people that have lines on the show, it's terrific, and it's terrific because you do have so much to do, and you are under pressure, and I know you won't admit to it probably, but you are under a lot of pressure, and I think that's why we both feel that way when we're out there,
yeah,
because you're very nice under the circumstance.
And you certainly had a lot to do on this week's show, and no BS now. Stop making me so nice. No one's going to listen to this if I'm just continuously nice to you, but you were great.
All right, so then say something that you've really felt that you wouldn't want to...
Okay, your mother doesn't like me.
My mother doesn't like anybody.
Okay, but she specifically doesn't like me.
That's not true.
Okay, all right, listen, honey, I'll tell you the truth,
what?
Okay? About the conversation I had with your mom before you walked in the room.
Tell me.
Okay, so Frida was out buying magazines or doing whatever, and I was just sitting in your dressing room because I didn't know what to do. Your mother came in, and I stood up, and I said, hi, nice to see you again. I'm Don. I put my hand out, and she said, I know who you are, and my hand is still out and didn't get the handshake in return. So we were sitting down,
right.
And then there was a couple of moments of awkward silence, and I'm trying to fill the silence because your mom's not saying anything to me.
Right.
I said, you know, your daughter's a wonderful person.
Right.
She's so nice to arrange this so I could have a line on the show. And your mom said...
Let me guess.
What?
Uh-huh.
No, she said, oh, really, you have a line on the show.
Right.
I can't get a line on the show. And, again, I'm waiting to, you know, for some frivolity, but there was... There was no frivolity, so then I talked to her.
But at least she said, told you the truth why she was being nasty.
Is that...
She's
then,
jealous.
Then, wait a minute, hold on.
Right.
Then I'm talking about Bart, how Bart is, you know, going to be 16, and how your sister is 16, and
right.
And maybe, you know, that we should introduce them to each other, and I
right.
certainly didn't mean anything seriously. Again,
right.
She just looks at me and goes, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Really?
And I went, okay. Then there was another one beat. Two beat, and I said to her, half kidding, half seriously, I said, Vicky, come on. You really don't like me, do you?
Right.
And she said,
yeah.
You have a certain amount of meanness in you. Okay, now, listen, what have I ever done to your mom? I've not done anything to your mom.
Is that an act that your mom does, or what the hell's going on with
no,
that?
No, my mother, let's call her up and let's ask her what the attitude was about. Should we call her at work?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Sure, I'd love to call your mom.
All right. Get her on the phone.
Hold on.
And explore it and explain it.
Hold on, please.
But she's very bashful when she's got microphones around. I remember that from the last
time.
Yeah, right. Hold on. We have to get the number. Hold on.
No, Lee, I'm serious. Isn't she?
Well, hold on. She's on hold now.
Oh, this would be a good moment. This was a good development. Way to go.
Well, I had to tell her. I mean,
you're nice.
I don't want it all to be sugar and spice and everything nice. But
well,
this is fine. This is closure. But the truth is, Leah is wonderful. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
yes, she is.
You know, God forbid, Frida was to drive her car off a cliff today,
mm-hmm.
I would go camp out in front of Leah's house. I know she would have nothing to do with me, but
right.
I would be like one of those weird stalkers that would just be sitting there.
He's out there again.
Okay, I've got the mom's number.
Okay, we're going to call Vicky, Leah's mom, and find out. Leah said to ask her why the attitude and why
okay.
she thinks Don's mean. Right?
Yes. You have a certain amount of meanness. That was the quote.
Hi, you've reached Los Feliz Academy.
Hey, Leah?
Yeah.
Is this the right number?
Yeah, but you got to call back because someone's obviously on the phone if the machine picked it up.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Let me call back. Put you back on hold. Hold on a second. Okay. Okay. Oops. Crap. Damn it. Okay. Got it. I got Leah on line 4. Here we go.
Hi, you've reached Los
La.
All right, well.
Jamie!
She's not there now.
No, she's there. Jamie!
Can I just call her on my own later?
No, I want to talk to her. I want to know why she's being so nasty.
Now, wait a minute.
What was your response when she said that to you?
I think my response was, you don't know me.
And she said?
Nothing.
Can you pull that to you?
What's the best way to handle your mom?
Up front.
Okay.
I mean, say, hey,
now,
stop.
Here's the thing with my mom. My mom is a brutally honest person. And she's saying...
I'm getting that. She doesn't like me.
Now, in some circles, that's a nice way of saying rude. Right?
Mike, rude could be considered, you know, not showing up to a show that you had a line on, but you wanted to be an MC.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's just...
Jamie,
it's,
get my mom on the phone. Tell her we're trying to reach her live on the air.
I mean, is there a way to handle that?
Is there a way to handle...
I guess, how do I win her over?
Well, here's the thing. You cannot deny... I mean, everybody's got some meanness in them, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yes, but how have I demonstrated
that's
that?
That's ridiculous. She thinks now that you're...
No. I said that's ridiculous because she doesn't know me.
Right, but you're assuming that my mother is not perceptive, and by not admitting it, she goes, okay, so you're a perfect person.
No, she didn't say that. That's not as far as... I mean, listen, Leah, hold on a second.
What you should have said, this is how you handle my mother.
Yes.
That's what you should have said.
That's what I want.
Yeah, and your point would be what, Vic?
And then how does that, I mean, does she stop
because
doing that or what?
She usually laughs.
Yeah, because she was laughing with us the first time we were out there.
Right.
I mean, actually,
For some reason, Don, she's got a thing with you, not so much with Mike.
The last time I was out there,
admit it though, Don. You got to go. So yeah, you're right, Vic. I do.
But the last time I was out there, I got the distinct impression that she was doing it. She was having fun. That she was doing it to kind of.
Well, no. Listen, if I said to her what I really thought,
yeah.
I would say to her, "Listen, honey, I think if we were to do the meanness test,
yeah.
you'd be the winner."
Right. And I think now that's what I was asking about.
And
I mean,
you know what she'd say?
What?
You're probably right.
Now, but does she do any of this? This is what I was getting at with how to handle it. Does she do any of this to be, because I got the impression when I was out there the last time, she does it kind of, she's working you a little bit. She's having
she's
fun with
you. She's a ball buster.
She's a ball buster, and she's doing it to, you know, to see what kind of reaction she's going to get. Is there any of that that's true?
Completely.
Okay.
Why would it have killed her just to be civil with me? You know, I was there being nice with her.
My mother is not civil. My mother either really, like, she's a bull buzzer. That's all I can say about her. If she says blah, blah, blah to somebody, and they go, well, you don't know me, and they get real serious, she goes, oh, please. But if you go, you're right, Vic, and isn't that the pot calling the kettle black?
Okay, so she likes to get a little back.
Oh, she can't talk now? Wow.
I bet she doesn't like to get it back.
That's very... She's on her cell? She's very busy?
I bet she doesn't like to get it back.
Did you hear that my mother won't take my phone call?
Yes, I did. Well,
I think we should bother her.
Let's say...
She said not to call her.
What about the... Does she like to get it back a little bit?
She does like to get it back.
From you or from everybody?
Well, I think that it depends who it is, but also... Uh-huh. I think it's good for her to get it back a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that, too.
You know what I mean?
That when you suggested we call her, I got a little bit of that, too.
It's exciting a little bit. I do like to go toe-to-toe with her.
And you like a little moral support, too, don't you?
Yes. Although I didn't notice...
But you know what? You know how many conversations I have like this during the day?
With everybody?
I've had a friend for 15, I mean, all my life, right, who's still scared of her. I mean, she's 32 years old now.
And I apologize for calling your mom rude, and I know that upset you.
Listen, honey, I'm not afraid of your mom. What I was afraid of is saying to her what I really thought, and then probably the next time I saw you being asked to leave.
First of all, that would never happen because I've been in this situation with my mother many a times. And it's usually sitting down with my mother going, so what did you do there? What, you know, and she's like, oh, well, that person, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, oh, okay, because you can't be an ass. Is that what you're saying? And then she just usually laughs and goes, you're right. You know?
Okay. All right.
So it wouldn't upset me if you would have gave it right back to her.
What is your mom like? What makes her tick? What does she really dig?
You can't say the S word. She doesn't like bull ass. Leah?
Hello, it's not,
you know,
right.
What's wrong with this friggin' delay?
What happened?
I just hit the delay, and it made the line go down.
Yeah, it's ramping up right now. I don't know. For some reason, it did the whole thing.
It just cut out the whole last part of that conversation. Leah said the S word. She said,
What she, that her mother doesn't like bull S.
Right, right. It should be back in a moment. It only takes a few moments. You need at least, for some reason, it dropped all of it out. That's not mess. Like... It's not like that delay system to misbehave.
Well, you didn't get to hear all that conversation. She said, She said, you're probably not going to be able to say this on the radio, but my mom doesn't like bull S. And she said the S-H-I word. So what was I, you know, what was I supposed to do? Call her a C?
Well, she's scary. And we were both scared of her, and you were scared of her last time. And
but I mean, she's the star's mom, and you don't want to insult her. And that's why I'm scared of her.
Right.
I'm not scared of her.
Right.
I mean, I'm scared of her because...
I'm scared of her, but I'm not.
I mean, I'm not scared of her. I'm scared of her because she's Leah's mom.
That's right.
I'm not scared of her.
Mom? Now, have we lost the call totally?
She's there. She's on line 4.
Well, I can see she's on line 4, but I'm not hearing her voice. Okay, well, listen, let me put her on.
Hold on.
Somebody just pick up the phone and tell her what's wrong with this radio station. Rob, pick up the phone and tell her what's wrong here.
It'll take a while.
Leah? Hi, sorry about that.
Full turn, I might add.
Oh, you've been talking this whole time? Oh. It hasn't been on the air because our delay is screwing.
Jesus Christ.
Just added the tension.
Well, I have to. I mean, she was saying, what? You've got nothing bad to say?
I'm out now. I'm completely out of her life. I called her mom rude. It's a terrible tactical move for me.
I spent a lot of time trying to explain to her why the President's Cup was important to you.
She didn't buy it, did she?
She didn't understand it.
Yeah. She didn't understand it. Well, you give me an opportunity to...
I did my best to express it from my...
Well, I mean, what she said immediately. I mean, she went right for that. Went right for that. I feel bad about that.
Well, now we can't even put her on the air.
Oh, for God's sake.
This sucks on
ice. What the hell is wrong with our system in here?
Well, Leah, if you can hear us, I guess you can hear us on hold. Mike's discussing doing the President's Cup, how that was important to him. And I'm discussing what the reaction would have been if I would have called your mother a C word. How she would have reacted to that.
It's been over a minute now. Isn't that the length of our...
Yeah.
Have we just effectively shut off the whole phone system?
The darndest thing is I just checked, you have delay running, but the delay system isn't recognizing it for some reason.
Jam.
I mean, it's not recognizing it.
Well, it's not.
You know,
I mean,
can
we have
ever
delay.
Get a goddamn studio that functions?
The delay is on, but it doesn't seem to know that it's on.
Where's the...
get them for you?
Boy, talk about baptism of fire.
This is embarrassing.
You want to pick up the phone and talk to Leah?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. But her voice can't be heard.
Right.
Hey, Leah? Hey, this is awfulous. I know you...
I hear an action
screaming at me.
Why is she yelling at you?
She's yelling at me because she's been talking the whole time and she didn't realize that she couldn't be heard.
Because it's the delay.
Yeah, listen, our delay is screwed up. Use the S word. Use the S word and I had to hit the button to delete it out and now it's taken all of our phone calls off the air. That's why now on the radio people are just hearing me talk to you on the regular handheld telephone. They can't hear you. Yeah, can I call you back? Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay.
Is she upset?
No, she just called me baby.
Oh, all right. No engineers in the building. I know you're shocked to hear that.
You know.
Just doing a little radio show.
No engineers in the building.
You know, I don't know
certainly
any other
no,
show.
Certainly no need for the engineers to be in the building.
Yeah, no need for that to happen.
The most important show is on the air. The show that takes the most phone calls
on this radio station is we've literally cut out our entire phone system.
Right. Let me call Ken. Oh, that's right.
The life's blood of this program now completely eliminated.
Mm.
We can do it off the air, and that's what Don's doing right now. You calling Ken?
Yep.
Their phones are crap.
Ask him where his new boy wonder is.
Hatched together.
Yes, but you're not on the air. You're not on the air. Well, no, I'm on the air, though.
No phones get on the air.
You're not on the air because no phones can get on the air. Oh, all right. He's putting me on with the general manager.
With Alan Limewand?
With Belichick.
Okay.
Hello? Hey, Alan. Alan, listen, the phones don't work.
Engineer.
And there are no engineers here. Okay, good. Thanks, bye-bye. Well, I bet he's not here. They just looked for him. They said he's not here.
Wendell here?
Wouldn't it be a good idea to have one engineer on premises at all times?
Yeah, during the important...
Okay. Especially somebody who just started today. Oh, it's the guy's first day.
Oh, my God. Oh,
it's his first day. Okay, thanks.
Devon has just come in here. Yeah, Lisa?
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Joan just called me in my office. The engineer was in her office helping her with her computer. He is on his way down.
Oh, he is in the building. Well, then, all right. Well, then, good. That's great.
Good.
Now, who said the engineer wasn't in the building?
Rob.
Now, Rob, why did you say that?
Because that's what I was told.
Who told you that?
I don't know that you need to know that.
Hey,
what do you mean I don't need to know that?
Because I was told, I asked Charlie if there was any engineer.
I was looking for an engineer. I made calls. I'm in the rack room trying to get the goddamn delay to work, and no other effing engineers are paying attention to the show.
There you go.
To know what's happening.
Right. There's an answer. Thank you.
It's more important to help Joe Joan with her computer.
Jesus,
this place is a friggin' mess.
Very noble of you protecting Charlie, though, Rob.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Very nice.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
Protect Charlie?
You don't. You know the rule, though. No
why would you just
anybody?
Sell out Charlie?
Nobody protects anybody.
Charlie's my partner.
Oh, come on.
You know how we are together.
Sell him out in a second.
He'd never sell me out.
Right. All right, well, where's the engineer?
Now that...
I guess he's coming down from Just Jones' office, and I guess he's going via Newark.
All right, let me call J.O. Joan.
All right.
J.O. Joan.
That's very good.
Joan, got it.
Joan. Just Joan.
Joan. Remember, you can't spell Joan without J-O.
That's right.
Amen.
Hi, Joan, this is Don. Hi, is that engineer up there? Is he on his way down here? He's on his way down here. Okay, thank you, Joan.
Rob, what's the new engineer's name?
Schmuck.
Engineer Mike.
Mike. Engineer Mike.
Mike Friedman.
All right.
I've known him for a long time.
Good. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a buddy of yours.
Well, how long does it take to walk down a flight of stairs?
We still cannot put phones on the air, right? He's new here. He's finding his way.
No, perhaps he's in the rack room, because that may be where the problem is.
Is that where the problem is?
I think that's where the delay itself actually lives, so maybe that's where he is.
That's where he's working.
We should come in here first, though, to give us the update on what's happening.
You should know the rules that our engineering problems are very much public.
And what the ETA is on fixing that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very strictly insulted by your remedy.
I don't think she's mad at you.
She went right for my throat.
I don't think she's mad at you.
Because you were handling it very delicately. In fact, I appreciated you bringing it up, and then I'm the one. Last time when we were out there with her mom.
Yeah, because her mom is a bitch.
It was, when you say somebody's always brutally honest, well, yes, of course people can be brutally honest, but sometimes, you know, we all have rules of civility where you kind of temper.
I consider myself to be brutally honest.
Yeah, but in the right
room.
And
when she walked in the room, I didn't say, hey, here comes the big C-U-N Toledo.
Right.
Hi, Mrs. C-U-N Toledo.
If the engineer is in the rack room.
Don't do that. Just kidding.
You don't need to know.
All right. Let's do a break.
Good idea.
And see if the engineer on his first day can fix the problem.
Excellent. Hey, it's quite a challenge.
The first big crisis for the brand new chief engineer here.
Come on.
Okay. Get it going. And if you can't get it going, get Dan Rice.
Get him back.
Let's hire him back.
Where's Wendell? Wendell's usually here, too.
Wendell's probably out getting laid.
They're responsible for that.
Getting laid, having cigarettes, shooting his guns. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Larry, there's a syndicated radio here in town called the Don and Mike Show. I know they're huge fans of yours. They're coming to town. Could you send us an autographed copy of your book that we can have?
Wait a minute. You're telling me Don and Mike will read a book about prayer? Okay.
Yeah.
Give them this message. Okay. Tell them both to pray for civility and class.
Ooh.
That's giving God a job,
words.
Boy.
Thankfully.
The patron saints of kids, Don Geronimo and Michael Mell.
Okay, you ready for more good news?
Yeah.
The delay, which is not enabling us to take phone calls.
Right. Yeah,
it's now so effing with the regular audio.
Oh, great!
Meaning that the show that we're doing now is like getting clipped out.
is getting garbled on the transmission?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure that that's why everybody's calling. I, of course, cannot answer these phones on the air.
So you have to take these calls off the air to find out.
Strange. John and Mike. Yes, hi. Hey, this is Don. You're not on the air. What can we do for you?
Oh, this is a sticky wicket.
Okay, hold on. Richard from New York.
Me.
Wanted to know what time we were getting up there on Wednesday.
Oh, good. All right. That's nice.
Hello, excellent. Don and Mike.
Courteous.
Yes?
Always ahead of the game.
No, you're not on the air.
Yes, you
are. Okay, thank you. Right, thanks. Bye.
It's just as much fun as when it's on the air.
Okay, that person who called said that for the last 15 minutes, ever since the dump button went bad,
yes,
everything we're saying, approximately every 10 seconds, there's a giant glip, and it goes dead, and then it goes back a couple of seconds.
Oh, my
God. Are we supposed to do a freaking show? We can't even get the on-air stuff right.
Can't we unplug the thing? Can't we disable it?
So now it's not a problem with just taking phone calls.
That's good that I mentioned that, huh? Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You're not on the air. Hi. Last week we were repeating ourselves over and over again.
We were repeating ourselves? You mean they were hearing the same thing over and over again? This can't be, you know, who knows?
I don't know.
There's
maybe
a problem
this is another problem. I don't understand this woman. She's saying that we would say something and then it would stop and it would repeat over and over again because we didn't hear that from anybody else.
Or maybe we were calling somebody and we were on hold.
She said it would only repeat a couple of words.
What line is she on?
She's on line 6. Hold on. Mike wants to talk to you also.
Good.
Hi.
Hi, what are you wearing right now? Why, I'm sorry.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You're not on the air.
Sorry.
Okay. In Spokane, it's...
I'm good, but everything's clear in Spokane.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Rain.
Hi, you're not on the air. Oh, it was during a best of on Friday, when that woman came about things repeating.
Okay. Oh, okay. You mean like the... Oh, God. People are stupid.
Where are you calling from?
Oh, he just hung up.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You're not on the air. Hello? Hi. Yes, Rich. Okay, she was talking about the best of. We know that!
We just took a call from Alaska. They said we sound a lot colder.
Hey, listen, is anybody listening? Are we having the problems we're talking about? Hello? Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, I wonder if we're having a chain.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
Apparently the problem is only for people listening to us in D.C. on WJFK. Mm-hmm.
So it's only our local listeners.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I know. I really can't. It's foolish to do that to our number one listener.
Oh, Jesus Christ, everybody now is calling to repeat that the segment that was repeating was when the guy from Who Wants the Mayor was on. Okay.
If you like, we will repeat it.
You know what? Hello, Don and Mike show. You're not on the air.
Better yet, I'll let you eat it.
Okay, well, Sean, listen, we have confirmed it sounds all right everywhere except in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. is where we're having the problem.
And I wish everybody from the other cities would stop calling to tell us it's okay in their city.
They're just concerned fans.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
The fans.
Hello.
Am I lovely?
How many hours did you play basketball today?
I was over at George Mason shooting hoops, running around the track.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Your money.
Your money. Let me make another point.
Okay, listen. All right, listen. Guy from Baltimore now calling to say it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We understand it's fine everywhere except D.C., so you don't have to call us to tell us it's from Baltimore or Spokane or San Francisco.
Let me talk to this.
No, it's still WJFK, but you damn dummy, it's WJFK in Baltimore.
Hi, sir. What are you wearing right now?
Knock it off.
They're still working on this.
All right, now hold on. I finally got a guy from DC. Right. Tell us what you're hearing. You're hearing the normal show every 15 seconds.
Okay, that's like the other guy said. It's garbled.
Every 15 seconds, it sounds like we're on a tape, and it's garbled in a couple of seconds.
Okay, there's something major wrong.
It's not even garbled. It just cuts out. Sounds like we stop talking, and then they pick it up a few seconds later.
If I can explain to everybody what's happening, this is like a piece of audit that the show goes into, and then it's messed up, and that's why you're hearing this.
All right, so beautiful.
The filter.
Thank you, my friend. Okay, now I got. I finally got it. Here's what's happening. If you're, excuse me, that was feedback. If you're listening to us, every 10 to 15 seconds, there's a garble sound. Then there's 3 to 4 seconds of dead air. Then there's a popping sound, and we come back on, and then 10 to 15 seconds later, the cycle continues.
Every 15 seconds?
Every 15 seconds.
We can work with that.
Yeah, right.
No, we can't work with that.
This is when you unplug the damn thing.
You know what? I'm afraid we're going to have to go on strike until they can... I realize that we have people in 60 other markets, but frankly, our largest amount of listeners are here in D.C.,
This is unacceptable.
This is a problem that's originating from our home station. So until you fix this, we are effectively going on strike.
What will that entail, Don? We haven't had a strike in a long time. I forgot what the protocol is for a work action.
Well, it could be a silent strike.
Right.
It could be, but on purpose, not be funny.
Right.
Or it could be a strike where we just turn the mics off and leave it in Buzz's hands.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those unfair to Buzz work stuff.
Yeah, I know it is.
I want to strike too. But of course, it makes me chuckle as well.
I know it is. Or we could call Alan Linewanted and let him take the show over for a few moments.
That would be interesting. That'd be terrific.
Why don't you get the general manager and tell him until this problem is fixed that.
Would you like him in here?
Yes, I'd like him in here. I'd like him on the microphone.
And don't protect him, Rob.
Because this is bad.
Yeah. And I remember many times like this. I don't want to slam guy, but
here he is now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our general manager, Alan Linewan, the man who frankly disappointed us last week with...
Prize. No prizes, but, you know, he had given us prizes before. We kind of thought he set a precedent, but we were sorely mistaken.
We delivered, and our audience delivered number one ratings to Alan. And
most listened to a radio station, radio show, I should say.
All we got was a handwritten card.
Welcome to the highest rated radio show in Washington, D.C. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Okay, now listen, the problem is that there's something wrong with the audio, that it's not just when we take phone calls, which we can't do now. People can't hear us. The problem is that every 10 seconds there's a skip, there's 3 to 4 seconds of dead air, then it picks up again, and then it... So, Mike and I are going on strike.
We were wondering if during the work action, we had a couple of options. One, of course, is just... dead air, and the other one would be maybe Buzz just taking over. But someone brought up the idea of maybe having you do the show while
I brought that up. That's a great idea.
That was Don's idea. Brilliant idea. All
commercials.
What's that?
We just play commercials.
Just play commercials.
Well, now that would also screw the clients, since the clients' commercials would be it also.
But you would be running the show, and that would be if you wanted to go all commercials all the time, that would be your call.
Which would of course end up hurting us if you just played all commercials. So we thought there'd be no better way to get you involved to make sure that this problem gets taken care of as soon as possible, then to turn the show over to you. So Mike and I will now turn our mics off.
Oh, that's great.
And it is the Alan Linewan Show. Mike,
yes.
kick back.
All righty.
Read the paper.
Very good.
I'm very serious, Alan.
Ladies and gentlemen. I think the first thing I need to do is I need to go find where the problem is. So what? Because this isn't what I do.
Rob, you could go bring the problem to Alan.
You think?
Yeah,
because I was going to say, Alan, I know they're not talking, but I just wanted to clue you in that if you left the mic, there'd be a tremendous amount of dead air at this time.
I understand that.
So, Alan, do you... Oh, hold on now. Look at this. Look at the screen here. I also see WPEK in Greenville is skipping.
doing it in Bakersfield. That's the call screen.
I got that.
Let's us know what's happening. So, I tell you what. Mike and I will go down the hall and check to see what's happening.
And maybe Alan and Rob can take it from here.
Alan can take it from here.
I'll run board. I don't know if I feel right about being on the show.
Rob, no.
All right. You're also
we'll be right back. We'll be right
well,
back.
Hey, Buzz, you're not leaving, are you?
Yes, he is. It's the Alan Linewan show.
Wait. This is, let's see. It's 5 o'clock. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Don't talk, Rob.
All right, so we've got to find the problem, which we will. In any case, it's 5 o'clock, and hope everybody's having a good time today. Hey, this is hard, Donna Mike. This is hard. Anyway, if I leave... Rob? Come on, Rob. Oh, geez. Okay, well, what's going on today? Hi, Lisa.
To help us out, we can't have any silence. We need you continually talking so we can hear, you know, the jumps in it. So no silence whatsoever. Just keep rolling.
All right, I'd like to call in some... Oh, entertainment...
just read out...
The power issue, the 101 most powerful people in entertainment. What do you know? All right. Well, you know, I would like a partner in this, Rob. Let's see. Don't forget the Titans. Well, I think I hear Dynamite coming down the hallway. Now, that would be Charlie.
It may be fixed.
Thank God.
Don't leave yet.
Thank God.
Let me see.
I found that part of the show highly entertaining.
It's fixed.
It's fixed. That was a good job. And I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to get to your power.
Any of my tools here.
Right?
Nice job with the work stoppage.
With you guys in here.
That's thinking. And you got a lot of people that enjoyed it in the back room, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Linewan.
The Alan Linewan show.
Correct? What's that?
It is fixed.
It is fixed to the best of our knowledge.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Alan? What are you doing? What's he doing?
He was looking at something. I'm not sure.
What were you looking at? Alan, what were you looking at?
What I was looking at was what Charlie just showed Mike.
What did Charlie show me?
What? World Series ticket.
Explain to him what you're doing.
I'm just showing you this woman. Donna, your sister.
Oh, it's Linewan. Okay.
Yeah. There's a woman on the front page of the newspaper who has the same last name as Alan.
Oh, my God.
So you could have talked about that.
See, that would have been great.
I know that.
You didn't get to that.
Very interesting.
Okay, Alan.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Linewan, general manager.
General manager.
There he goes. Bye-bye.
Problem solver, Alan Linewan.
There he is.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're going to do a break. Really, we have to do a break now. And we'll come back with your call. Oh, I want to get back to Leah and talk to her mom, Mama C.
And I also wanted to mention, Erica just told me in the hallway, I have received a package from the Gore Lieberman campaign.
Yay. We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. With an extra stitch for your pleasure. The Don and Mike Show.
I got, listen, I got so many things you're going to try to cram into the show here. I want to call Leah back and get her mom.
That's right.
Because Leah's got a short window. Mr. 40 is on the line. Hey, 40. Yo, yo. 40.
Oh, please just tell me that he got disinterested and hung up and not that the phones have gone bad.
That's probably what it was.
Yep, that's what it was. All right, well, I know that Mr. 40 was in Detroit this weekend for the Tyson-Golota fight.
Yeah, a big controversy.
And we want to find out about that. Let's call TV's Leah Remedy back. And tell her that our phones are now working so that we can call her mom.
Good.
Mama C.
So we can get some closure. So we can get some closure on the previous discussion.
Mama C, you in Toledo. Hello?
I'm very nervous about the phones right now. Anytime there's the least bit of silence. But the calls are just coming in a mile a minute in praise of the Alan Limewine program. The Alan Limewine get-together.
How many time checks did he give?
So he said he gave like five time checks.
Four, Rob?
Four entertainment.
Four. And then sorry.
Is Leo there? This is Donna Mike.
Hold on a second.
Thank you.
Four time checks, then he grabbed a magazine, read silently to himself for a moment, then put the magazine down.
Entertainment Weekly. He was about to read from the pages of Entertainment Weekly.
I thought it was an excellent idea, but he got back to the time checks right away.
What you guys do isn't easy.
He did time checks on the ones.
Hey, guys.
Yes?
She's on the phone with her dad and was wondering if you can call back in a half an hour. Otherwise, she'll take the call now.
No, we'll call her back.
We'll call her back in a half an hour.
Great.
Call her back.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Half an hour for that. All right, let me try my Connie honey to get her take on Los Angeles.
Right.
And then we can do the next break with you about the President's Cup.
Yeah, I'll tell a few things that were interesting, and I also want to read my letter.
Hello?
Yeah, hola.
Hola.
Let me let me talk to Mama, please.
Okay, here's her.
Big Mama.
Boy, the voice is getting lower.
Yes, it is.
Hello there.
Yes, it is. On the big weekend at home.
He was
at home with his cousin, Ben.
Hello.
All weekend.
Just the two of them?
Just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, couldn't find any stains anywhere.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Daddy-O.
Hi, sweetie.
Beat.
I know you are. I know it's very tough going to Los Angeles and staying at fancy hotels and spending all of my money.
You know, I never asked you how much they paid for that little line you did. I hope it was thousands and thousands of dollars so that we break even from this trip.
$600, honey.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think that was lunch on Rodeo Drive.
There you go. So listen, I think I've told just about everything about, listen, tell everybody and be honest. What were your thoughts on Leah's mother, since I'm going to have her on the show in about a half an hour?
She was fine to me. I had a nice, as a matter of fact,
because
we were there all friggin' day long, and it's not the most exciting experience in the world, and you really have to be a giant groupie to enjoy being there for 12 hours. You know, that I saw her, and I went up, and I stood around and chatted with her for quite a while. You know, apart from you, when you weren't even around.
Well, maybe you two have so much in common, that's why you were able to get along with her so well. I don't know. All I know is that she was rude as hell to me, and I thought she was rude the first time we met her, when you and I both met her together.
No, you know, you are so sensitive. For someone who, you know, says what you think sometimes, you are sensitive. She wasn't rude.
Yeah, but not to people's faces when I'm meeting them.
Oh, that's so much better, just behind people's backs.
That, I think, is more civil.
Yes, absolutely.
I think saying nasty things behind people's back is a lot nicer than...
As a matter of fact, Leah's mother got me so worked up, I brought Frida in on purpose, and I said to Frida, do you want to meet the biggest C in the world?
She was fine to me. She said nothing rude to me.
Okay, whatever.
Sorry.
Maybe that's the cunny code.
You know,
maybe when they meet one of their own.
You know, but on your behalf, I do take offense if she said that you have meanness in you, because you really, you don't. You have sweetness and shyness all in you.
Thank you, honey.
People that you meet, because she'd never heard you on the air. I understand how people who think you do if they hear only certain segments of your show, but you're as sweet as you could be in person.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, darling. You're very nice to say that. Now, listen, I do want to get your take on the celebrity you saw.
Oh, I saw more than one. I didn't even tell you. I didn't even chat with you that much, so I forgot to tell you about another celebrity I saw.
Well, I know that...
A celebrity that guided me to the ladies' room as I was about to walk into the men's room.
Who was that?
It was Pierce Brosnan.
You saw Pierce Brosnan?
Yes.
The gorgeous Pierce Brosnan, 007?
Yes.
Where did you see him?
Well, I was at that restaurant. I was at that Wolfgang Puck restaurant in Malibu.
Oh, of course you were in Malibu. You know, meanwhile, you know what my meal was in California?
What'd you have?
Del Taco.
Good stuff.
We didn't even sit down.
At the drive-thru at like 3 o'clock in the morning with the plane arrived.
Right.
That's nasty.
Del Taco. It was the only thing that was open.
There you go. You're in that neighborhood, probably.
I was trying to figure out which was the ladies' room and which was the men's room because both doors were open. And he directed me to the ladies' room. And I, you know what? I just said to myself, gee, that was a good-looking man. That guy looked like Pierce Brosnan. And then somebody said to me later on, well, did you see him at that restaurant? And I thought, Mike, I didn't even pay any attention to him.
Okay, and when she was complaining about the accommodations at the crappy hotel, the whore hotel,
right
across the street from the Sony Studios.
Yeah, because meanwhile, the night before, I had been at the Four Seasons, and I had gotten a massage. And that place was so nice. When you lay down to get a massage, and you know how your face is in that donut thing?
Right.
They bring a TV out so you can watch while you're getting
underneath the table?
Underneath the table.
Oh, that is cool.
Jesus.
That
so anyway,
so cool.
She's complaining about the crappy hotel that we were staying in because I wanted to be near the studio. She got up and she wanted to go for a run through this gang-infested neighborhood. Mm. And when she came back, she said, hey.
Well, see, I was running and I saw this guy and I thought, you know, I should ask him if it's okay to run in this neighborhood or not. So I was making eye contact with him and he said to me something like, hey, I can tell that's really working for you. And I hope he wasn't facetious. I mean, I think he was being kind. But it was Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know,
what was he doing in that neighborhood?
He's trying to score.
Yeah,
trying to buy something.
Well, we're assuming it was because of the studio.
Yeah, because, you know, they shoot Ally McBeal right there across the street. So maybe,
those are two biggies, Frida.
Oh,
I mean, those are two major league stars.
Before we moved to the hellhole at my other hotel, I saw, who did I see? I saw Jimmy Kahn. Jimmy, as we who.
James Kahn.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kahn. Just wanted to see Jimmy Kahn.
Jimmy Kahn. That's what they call him at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, right. I saw Jimmy, and I saw, and one night when I was out to dinner, I saw Joan Van Ark.
There, now you're starting to fall off the table.
I'm sorry.
Here we go.
Yeah, but my contact was with the biggies.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I guess so, because I'm
great.
Outside of Leah and Kevin,
right?
Nobody. Jerry Stiller was the biggest.
I mean, even out there in L.A., it's a gold mine of celebrities that you bumped into.
No, I had a great time. I am so exhausted. I shopped the entire time, but you know what's bad? You go into these stores, and in the front, when you're looking on the racks, I said to him, "Well, you don't have my size. You only have a 2 here." Oh, I think in the back we have your size.
Oh, but listen, God. You know what?
And every store was in the back.
Wow. This is why I am going to send Frida out to buy cigars for me from now on.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I call her up and I say, I'm on my way out there, but I don't have any cigars. I need you to try to go to a shop and get me some cigars. So she meets me at the airport and she says... She downplays this. She says, well, I went to a store and I wasn't able to find anything.
Well,
you
I
like.
Went to the store you recommended first, and all I could find were the crappy ones.
Right. Uh-huh. And then she gives me a bag and she says, but there might be some good ones in here. And I open up the bag. She got me like these Cuban cigars. And I said, and not fakes,
right.
No Cubans, right? I said, where did you get these? And you know what it is? It's because my wife's hot.
Right.
And then she goes into a cigar shop, and she says, oh, hi. You know, she bats her eyebrows, and says, I want to buy some cigars for my husband. And they bring her into the back room, and they show her that they got Cuban cigars.
Come back into the back room.
But yeah, no, the friend that was with me didn't know what was going on because they start talking in the whisper, and they do the shifty eye thing to make sure nobody's looking. And, you know, she thought I had some arms trade going on in the back room.
And, you know, the other thing that Frida loved when we were on the set of King of Queens, even though she was continually... bitching about how, you know, all you do is sit around and wait all day.
Hurry up and wait all day long.
All day long.
Okay.
She did enjoy when they were actually filming the show, when she would get to walk around the stage area and get to sit in the big director's chairs. People were actually applauding for her.
There you go.
Right?
There were you must have had some fans. At the end, when you all did your bows, you must have had some listeners there because they said, hey, Frida, way to go. Of course, I hadn't done anything all day, but I was thinking, hey, maybe these Hollywood types are hearing, you know, that I'm getting applause for doing the nothing.
There you go. You'd be discovered.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I know that there's probably one thing you want to say to me that I don't think I heard all weekend. Two words.
You're welcome for the cigars.
No. I believe I said the two words to you when you gave me those cigars, but I don't think I heard
anything about, you know, your fabulous vacation out there.
No, I did have a nice time, Boo Boo, and thank you for inviting me.
Ah, there it is. There.
Bingo.
Yeah, it was a wonderful time. I had the packages, because I couldn't get them in my suitcase, so they should be arriving now, starting. As a matter of fact, my mom already told me that the thing I sent her while I was shopping, you know, has already arrived, so that's packages should be arriving here momentarily.
You don't want to carry, you ship.
That's right.
She did. Yeah. And then she called in a panic on Saturday, wanted to know Leah's address because she bought a present for Leah.
I do.
Oh,
I have to. I'm going to email Charlie now and get him to email me the address to send something to Leah.
All right, honey.
All right, sweet pea. Hey,
listen,
I love you.
Listen, I want to ask you something. Did you feel anything for her at all?
Did I feel any?
You know what I mean.
I felt warmth and gratitude and, you know, and affection.
I think you got to see the
real... You know what? Which is more than I felt for you when I first met you. So there might be some, you know...
Hey, there could be something down the road.
So something could develop.
And you know, on Friday morning, you did see the real Leah when she came in.
Well, I'm sure she comes in without makeup on because they make her up there.
Yeah, she looked a little weather-beaten.
Well, no, she looked you know, as all women do when they don't have their makeup on yet. She's lovely. You look better with makeup.
She looked normal. I mean, all I did was validate the stuff that I told Frida when I had spent the night at Leah's house.
And there were no wet kisses between the two of them.
No, there were none, but there was lots of hugs.
Oh, that's good.
Lots of hugs between
hugs
the two of them.
Hugs are a good start.
Yes. And I got a great hug from Leah when she was in her bathrobe.
Really?
Ay, ay, ay. A really nice hug. Really great. She just come out of the shower.
Oh,
she's walking down the hall and said, "Hi, is everything okay?"
Yeah, I'm scared now.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm worried.
Yeah, I know you're worried.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Love you.
All right, goodbye, Boo.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass. It makes you work for it.
I mean, you know, the whole experience, just a pain in the ass.
It's over now.
I mean,
it's over now, though. It was good. It was a good experience.
No, it was a good pain in the ass.
Of
but
course.
The pain in the ass part where, you know, well, we have to stay at this hotel. I was at the Four Seasons. Do you know when you have lunch at the Four Seasons that they actually put the napkin in your lap
for you?
And
then they press it down into your lap and rub back and forth.
And they came over because I had a black napkin in my lap, and they said the black napkin didn't go with the attire I had on, so they came over and replaced it with a mauve.
Oh, God.
Whatever was napkin.
Mauve napkin, yes.
Christ. Please. I'm on Rodeo Drive right now. See all the crap she bought out there. You know, for someone who says that she doesn't like that lifestyle, she sure did assimilate to it very quickly.
I don't think you broke even on the weekend.
My wonderful wife. Oh, no, absolutely not. Please.
No way, no how.
Nope. So anyway, glad I had her out there. She was wonderful to have, and Leah was nice. Want to get Leah's mom on. Want to hear about you at the President's Cup. We're going to do a break now. And then we'll be back. Let's do the touch tone at 877-365-3636. Call 100. And Mike, I'm sorry, I forgot that. You want to mention that you did get something finally from the Gore Lieberman people.
Do we have to go to break right now?
Oh, no, we can do this before.
Dear Mike, your fans in Montgomery County working on the Gore Lieberman campaign heard you needed to be able to compete with Don, so we're sending you this care package. Hope you'll enjoy the contents. Best wishes, Steve Robinson, Vice Chair, Marilyn Gore Lieberman, Campaign 2000. Finally, the Democrats
have
stepped up to the plate. In here, all sorts of wonderful things, Don.
Like what?
I have the placard, the Gore 2000, like the kind you would see at the convention.
Excellent.
We have lots of stickers that I'm going to go around the building sharing with people.
Good.
We have the campaign pins. Chutzpah, Don. Gore Lieberman in 2000.
There are no personalized pins there.
No, there are not. No. No, you guys...
As were sent to me by the Bush people.
This seems to be in Hebrew, I believe. Gore Lieberman. Or something like that, I'm not sure. All right, then we've got some campaign bumper stickers.
So basically,
we have the Gore Lieberman 2000 T-shirt.
That is simply a pale imitation of the package I was sent today.
But you know, I mean, compared to where I stood before,
yeah.
I mean, it's fine. And here's one of my favorite items. It's not signed, but it's just the 8x10 color glossy.
Can I say it?
Absolutely not. You may not. I did not do anything to any of your materials.
Can I just say the picture of Al Gore?
Without question, you cannot.
Can I please?
And hold on a second.
But now, why won't you let me see the picture of Al Gore?
Because I have another picture that I'm going to let you have. I'm going to keep the one that I have.
Okay.
Hold on.
What's the picture you're going to let me have?
Here we go. This one says, Women for a Democratic America, and it's got pictures of the two
First
ladies.
Where's the picture? Give me the picture.
Hold on a second. I'm just seeing all the buttons I got.
I didn't read all the buttons that the Republicans sent me.
I've got a bumper sticker that says, Proud to be a Democrat.
Okay, listen, hold on. I didn't waste time reading every bumper sticker and every button that the Republicans sent me.
But you did two things where you got your stuff. Remember this? I'm kind of making up for lost time. I have your picture. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is a picture you can keep.
Thank you.
It's a picture of Tipper Gore.
Oh, look at that.
There you are. It's immediately gone to work.
Immediately he's gone to work facing it.
All right, there you go.
I'm guessing a mustache.
No.
No? Devil horns? Let's see.
I have a feeling we're not going to be able to.
No, sure you can.
That's excellent.
All right.
There you go.
Right
there. See what I wrote?
Yes, I did. I can see it very clearly.
Can you see a buzz?
I can't see what you wrote, but I see what you did.
Yeah.
Oh,
why don't you read that?
Yeah, I see it now. No, I see it.
Can you read that, Rob?
Hold on, it's being brought over to Buzz.
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead. Read it out loud, because you can really sell the last part.
It reads, she has a penis, and then there's a line, and then it says, whore!
There you go.
Right.
It's a great picture of her.
Right. I stood your candidate. Total respect.
Oh, yeah, lots of respect. Yeah, nice job, copycat Democrats.
I showed, and I never said anything about his wife. The Joker.
Okay. Call 100 right now at 877-365-3636. We call 100 right now. Talk to Lisa. We have a prize package selected especially for you. Even though I feel shaky about our Mets bet,
yes,
I feel good about the other bet.
Yeah. Well, I'm sticking by my man, Gore Lieberman 2000.
Feeling good about that.
There you go. I'm finally glad I got some stuff. I mean, I've wanted stuff for a whole long time. Oh, this is disgusting.
Feel good. Yeah. Listen, that Mrs. Bush.
I don't know what her first name is.
Everybody knows Tipper Gore.
Laura Bush.
Laura, you should know
Laura
that.
Laura Bush.
New and improved Joker product.
We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
They're at it again.
Take it easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
Well, it's almost worse this way, just hearing them.
Who let the dogs out?
Enjoy their show. Mr. Son of Beach. It's Dawn and Mike.
Who let the dogs out?
This song during every goddamn football game yesterday.
Have you been up late enough to watch David Letterman when he has his announcer, that red-haired guy, who does his version of that?
No.
It is so funny. I mean, Letterman's been doing this for a long time, and they go over to that guy. I forgot what, Alan Coulter.
Right? Yeah, right.
And they go over to Alan Coulter, and he goes, who let the dogs out? Arr. Just hysterical.
Well, I would be remiss, speaking of letting the dogs out, if I didn't once again tip my own hat and say, God damn it, I'm still undefeated in fantasy football.
Another victory for you.
Even with Kurt Warner getting hurt.
A bad weekend for you, but you still won.
Still won. 8-0.
What was your point total this week?
97.
You know what? I think I won. Did I win?
You lost.
I lost.
You lost.
Oh, God.
You lost to EB.
I thought I beat EB. I didn't have a lot of DNPs on there. Didn't I have guys with bye? I started a bunch of guys with a bye week.
You had two DNPs.
Because this was the week I gave up.
You had Ron Dane and Antonio Freeman.
Yeah.
And Mike, you are now officially...
The worst team in the league?
The worst team in the league.
Thank you. Mike.
1-7. Here is Charlie Broyhill.
What's that?
Will you trade now?
Not to you.
No?
No. No, I can't do that.
No?
Can't do that. Not to you or CK. Not to you because you're you, and not to CK because CK's just way too eager. Way too eager to take advantage of my misfortune and my horrible season. But maybe I'll pay attention this week and I won't start players that have a bye week.
Won't.
This was the first week I gave up. I quit this week.
I'm concerned because you do have that bad heart. So if you want to...
Well, my phone... as soon as Warner broke his finger yesterday... First of all, the people around the station here were ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, Warner broke his finger.
Well, you're the juggernaut. You're the man to beat. And now, you know, now the playing field is a little bit more level.
No, it's not because I also drafted Trent Green.
Trent Green.
So I'm just going to start him next week.
Now, he doesn't have Kurt Warner numbers.
Listen, you could put, what's his name? Malcolm in the Middle. What's that kid's name? Frankie Muntz.
No.
You could put Frankie Muntz at quarterback for the Rams, and they would still score 40 points every week.
So Trent Green will be plugged into that offense.
Right, interchangeable. You could make Dennis Murphy the quarterback of the St. Louis Rams.
Who do you play next week? Who are you up against? Are you up against anybody good?
Larry.
Okay, that answers that.
That's another winner.
Another victory.
He could surprise you.
Larry?
He could.
He might start one of his Thunderbox guys.
I was surprised I beat CK.
Thunderbox, Tom.
Just let me see. Cakes beat Bart. Jim, Big Gum Jim beat Tom and Bob. JB scored 243 friggin' points and beat Larry.
Wow.
Charlie beat CK, I beat Tech Radio, and EB beat Mike.
Wow.
There's your scores this week in fantasy football.
Terrific.
Okay, let's get our caller 100 right now at 877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Tell me I'm the 100th caller.
Yeah, right. Yes, you are, baby.
I am?
Yes, you are. Yeah, what's your name?
Lee.
Lee, where are you from? Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm from North Carolina. How come I'm not on the air with you guys?
What, Lisa?
This is the hi, Lisa. That you're absent, body paint rolling in. Am I a man or a woman?
Oh, boo.
Oh, okay.
Boo.
Forget it.
Come on, please.
No, you let us all down.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. You call her a Hellcat?
She's a Hellcat.
Hellcat.
Avenue.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am the 100th caller.
Yes, yes, you are. What's your name?
Vic.
You're not a Hellcat, are you?
Vic,
not at all.
Where are you from, Vic?
Man, you know me very well. This is Sherman Clump.
You know what? No, I'm sorry. We disqualify you, too.
Yeah.
How's that? You just want a trip to Japan from
man,
us.
That's my wife's trip.
No.
No. Oh, too much greed out there. Too much greed.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I am caller 100.
Please, have you ever called us or won anything from us before?
I have not, no.
How about your wife?
No.
Any family members?
Not that I know of, or any kids that I know of either.
All right, beautiful. Then listen, what's your name?
My name is Jason.
Jason, where are you from?
Wichita, Kansas.
Jason, you want the DVD copy of The Living Daylights, the ultimate James Bond collection, now on VHS Special Edition DVD. Please enjoy.
Great. Thank you, boy.
And for everybody listening to us WNEW, now it's your chance to call in with the exact same prize at 877-692-1027. And keep in mind, people listening to us on WNEW in New York, the entire tri-state area, we will be in Manhattan Wednesday, Thursday,
yes,
doing the show from WNEW. Mike and I are going to the World Series on Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
When hopefully the Mets don't screw the pooch and go 4-0 and have to sit in the toilet on Thursday.
Yeah, the bet is this, that whoever loses will have to sit on a commode in an adult diaper outside the studios at 888 7th Avenue in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan. In the event of a sweep, which there's no chance of me having to do this, but in the event of a Yankees sweep, Don will have to say, I'm a pretty girl whenever I ask him to.
While I'm sitting on the toilet in Midtown Manhattan in an adult diaper. So let me just say to any members of the New York Mets who might be listening right now, take your thumbs out of your asses. That's right.
Is this the Mets themselves singing?
It is. It's the Mets from 1969. The Miracle Mets.
Hey, it's timeless. I thought it could have been the Mets from today. And Mets of 1969.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
This is certain death for me. The fact we're playing this song.
Yeah, the super song for the series.
God damn this song.
I think the league's changed a little bit since 69.
That's pathetic.
Whee!
So come on, guys. You know, do something.
All right.
I don't expect you to win the series, frankly, because you let me down in the first two games. But at least win Tuesday or Wednesday night, so I don't have to sit on the toilet Thursday.
And I do not feel any need for a pep talk for a variety of reasons, but, you know, I hope the bet goes my way. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, because you took lots of crap from Red Sox fans, right?
I not only in person, but also over the phone. And, you know, I took heed. You know, they're absolutely right in a lot of their points.
So Mike was at the President's Cup this weekend. Maybe if you turned on the golf tournament, you heard him doing his announcements. You know, give us one of those announcements now.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Sea Island, Georgia, Davis Love the Third.
And that's why. You did a great job.
Thank you.
But I personally...
I bet you were falling off the bed last
night. I cracked up every time I heard you because right. You're using your...
My announcer voice.
Your big boy, real man voice.
My big man voice. My and for about the first 10 minutes on Friday morning, my extraordinarily puckered voice.
Yeah.
My, I am so nervous. I was nervous the whole time, but after the first day, the first 10 minutes of the first day, you immediately, get familiar with what they want you to do, and it was extremely exciting. But it was, 8 o'clock in the morning, bright and early, the first tea time, I think, at 8:10 in the morning on Friday. A little chilly out there, and it was, they had switched over from not using a PA system to using a PA system, and Paul Berry and I had a great time out there. Paul's a former Channel 7 anchorman. He split the duties with me, and on Thursday, he had used no PA, and, it was just, there's just too many people out there, so they switch over to PA. I get up there on Friday morning, and they're giving me this instruction on when to wait for the cue, when to wait, and then all of a sudden, our buddy Jim Gray appears, and, they tell me to get there at, 7:15, 7:30, so I'm one of the first people there, and at this point, the grandstand, the bleacher they have set up in back of the first tee is about half full, and since I'm the first one there, Johnny Punctuality, I'm feeling a little awkward because you really don't know what to do with yourself because you find out that the people that arrive on the first tee at this golf tournament, the big muckety mucks come at the very last minute, and then of course the players come after that, but slowly but surely people materialize. So I'm just trying to figure out what to do with myself, and it was nervous. It was real nervous, and then I got a chance to meet a lot of people. Did not get a chance really to shake any of the players' hands. I did have a couple of moments. I would always look at the players and I would acknowledge them and I'd get a nod, and I figured if I got a nod, that was my little greeting.
Did you get a nod from Tiger?
I did not get a nod from Tiger. Tiger was the one thing I noticed about Tiger Woods was his focus and how focused he is. That you wonder why the guy does as well as he does. I think the reason he does so well, he's in a different zone. He truly is. You compare him to the other players, they're all prepared. They're all, definitely on edge on the first tee. They're all ready to go. Tiger, especially yesterday, when he had his match against Vijay Singh, he had a level of focus that almost, when you're looking at him, it almost looks like he's not having a good time because he's just, you have to shake hands in this kind of format with certain dignitaries, the people that are going to follow the group on the course, and then they have to have the picture taken. So there's ceremonial stuff that they have to go through that I don't think they have to go through at regular golf tournaments. And he just had this look on his face where you knew when you shake his hand, all right, that's it. Let me pull it away as quickly as possible because he's got a look on his face. His eyes, he just looks like he's ready to, tear your throat out. And you don't see that with golfers because they're real laid back,
Well, you've done good. You've really done good.
Well, Paul Azinger, who's was one of the captain's choices,
Paul Azinger.
He comes up. He comes up with a lollipop, and he's got a lollipop, and leans over to me. There are a couple of people that told me to do things. Ken Venturi comes over to me and says, "Paul's not playing today. This is Paul Azinger, but I want you to announce him." So I go, immediately I run over to the microphone. And I'm like, "Ladies and gentlemen, from Bradenton, Florida." I think I got the town right. Paul Azinger, and I just do that, and then he nods. Then Paul Azinger comes over to me and says, "Curtis Strange got here. He's the captain of the Ryder Cup. You want to announce him?" And I said, "Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the captain of the Ryder Cup, Curtis Strange." And then Paul Azinger comes up to me and says, "He didn't hear you." And all of a sudden, I have a dilemma because I don't want to look like an a-hole that I'm making this comment that I'm going to announce it twice. So I decided just to quietly ignore that direction.
That's probably a wise move.
And then I walked up to Paul Azinger and I said, "I'm sorry he didn't hear it, anybody else you want me to announce? You talk and I'll jump." And he's like, on his lollipop, he goes, "Yeah, that's a good way to handle things." So I walked over, but, met the 41st President of the United States, and that was my only real embarrassing moment, I think, the whole time. Because I'm standing up there. You got all the people that are dignitaries.
That's Bush, everybody, if you don't know.
That's Bush, yes. And you've got all the dignitaries up there. They're all hanging around, and you can't help but feel like because you've got that job to do, you're kind of part of the help. You're there, you know, to do your job and kind of be invisible and just, you know, I even dressed up. I even put a tie on to be invisible. They told me to.
No, I was supposed
you shaved your beard off. I shaved my beard off. I was taking it seriously, you know, and you know, I still am amazed that they asked me to do it. And so I got up there and Bush comes walking across, the president, and he's greeting everybody. And he walks by me, and I guess he wasn't looking at me, but I have one of those just beautiful moments as I'm, you know, I'm a foot and a half away from him, and I put my hand out, and he walks right by me. Now, he didn't see me. I don't think it was like a purposeful...
Oh, maybe he knew you're for the wrong side.
Maybe he knew my political tendencies. But the funniest moment I had, I think it was yesterday, is, you know, they we're getting down to the last groups. I actually did the first six. Paul Berry did the last six. And in Ken Venturi walks up to me, and I'm standing next to Paul, and Ken says, you have a good voice. You ought to think about doing this professionally. And we kind of chuckled, you know, because I don't think he realized that I'm in radio or that Paul's in television and radio. And so he walked away, you know, and I wasn't going to, you know, you just accept that and, you know, you don't go, hey, Mr. Venturi, don't you listen to the show? But I was happy for him. It was really, for a golf fan, the single most exciting thing I've ever done. I was, you know,
that's what I was trying to explain to people.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know that leading up to it. When it came down to the fact that there was a conflict, there were a couple of times there where I was conflicted, and really the main reason I was doing it was because I had said almost 2 years ago that I was going to do this, and it, you know, it was kind of an obligation. I was thinking the whole time, we have such a good time when we go out there to Los Angeles that it would have been fun to do that. Once I got there and did it at the President's Cup, I realized it was the right thing for me to do because I had, you know, I was the biggest thrill of my life.
And that's what I was trying to explain to, like, to Leah. She said, well, what's he doing? I said, well, he's announcing the golfers. She said, well, why would he want to do that? I said, because it's Mike's world. The golf is everything. And he gets to, I said, I heard him say today, from Orlando, Florida, Tiger Woods.
And I really did it that way the whole time because it was just the sense you get, especially from the PGA Tour Commissioner, Tim Fincham, is that they just want you to do it their way. You know, they want it to be done.
No gags.
This is not a place for gags. And, you know, the players are up there. They're serious. They want to do their thing. And, you know, the only change a couple of times, Lauren Roberts, who played for the U.S. team, wanted to change from some town in Tennessee to Memphis, Tennessee, I guess, where he's really from. So it was very, very cool. I hope I get a chance to do it again. I'd love to do it again.
Well, you did good.
It was so much fun. I loved it.
And hopefully we'll have that tape tomorrow. So we can goof on you.
You know, you can, but I think I gave it, you know, exactly the way. Probably a little more nervous, you know, because I really was super, you know.
I could tell you were nervous on Friday.
Well, you didn't hear the real nervous part, which was the very beginning. What they do on the networks is they will actually edit out, they won't do, well, they did the coin toss where I announced the president on Saturday. And, you know, they had that, which I didn't know they had done that. And I also didn't know that the networks were going to cut to me on the first tee and get my audio, you know, for everybody that was teeing off.
Right.
I really think if I'd known that before, I would have had a pucker factor. You know, I would have said,
ladies and gentlemen, representing Australia, help me.
You did good.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mike, I knew it was you the minute I heard you during the tournament. Any chance you'll be doing the Kemper?
I don't think so. I think, you know, it's, I don't know. I'd love to. If they called me and said, hey, you know, go out and do this, I'd do it. I loved it. It's a lot of fun. You work for about an hour, and then you can go enjoy the rest of the golf tournament.
Don't you think you should strictly, though, do the big events?
Yeah, Don, I think you're right. Ryder Cup, President's Cup, and all the majors.
Hello.
I'll go to Augusta, you know, go to Augusta. Do all the major
venues. Cinderella Boy.
Cinderella Boy be fantastic.
Hello.
Look forward to it.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
I'm tired. Today, Tony Kornheiser made a reference to you guys on the ESPN radio show.
Okay, thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I guess you don't want to share that with us.
Well, what had happened, he had, was interviewing Buck Showalter on the radio, and when Buck came on there, he said, how are you guys? So he interviewed him. He tried to get him to stir up a little controversy over Clemens and the thing. And so after it was over, they hung up, came back from commercial, and he got to apologizing to everybody. He said it didn't go out the way he wanted it to, and he said that reference to how you guys sounded like something from the Don and Mike show.
Great, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
That's a lovely story. You tell it so well.
So well. Glad we sat through
that. I saw Tony more times, Tony Kornheiser, more times than I should have, you know.
How are you?
How's he looking?
He had a nice little booth set up on the third fairway, about a million miles from everybody.
Yeah, well, WTEM, that's first class, Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hey, I want to give Mike his props. Great job.
Mr. 40 would laugh right now if he heard you say that.
He should give you a prop.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Well, I wish Mr. Mayfair was there because I think Billy Mayfair would have been a great intro.
Billy.
Not a chance Mike would have done that like that.
I know there's not a chance, but good job, Mike. I heard it and then turned the game off when you were done.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Turn the game off. There's a golf fan. Yeah, good game. That's good. Thanks for watching, sir.
Well, you did do good, and bring the tape tomorrow.
Yeah, that President's Cup was a great game.
We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
The authors of the Prostate Cookbook. Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Now listen, we've not heard back yet from Mr. 40 to get his report on his trip to Detroit for the Tyson-Galata fight.
Very controversial fight as Galata just quit.
Yeah, and I understand they threw junk on him, like people in the stands. Like,
wow.
Threw Slurpees and beer and hot dog at him. So
yeah, people were mad.
So call in Mr. 40, we need to hear that. We've also not heard yet from Dennis Murphy, reporting from Mexico from the porn convention he's at.
That scares me a little bit.
However, if you do want to see some goddamn funny pictures, go to www.dennismurphy.com.
He's got some pictures up there?
He has. Lisa was showing me that he has pictures of when he was in the studio last week, of him in his Speedo.
Yeah.
Well, you see right there in the screensaver.
You mean a picture of me and Dennis cheek to cheek?
Picture of you and Dennis. There's a picture of me and Dennis. Right. Picture of Rob and Dennis. There's about 1,000 pictures of Lisa and Dennis.
Dennis with his barrel hairy chest.
And the highlight is Dennis posing in his Speedo.
Absolutely.
So, you know, go to his website, www.dennismurphy.com. Now, let me just try Leah one more time.
Yeah, so we can close the books on this Leah's mother controversy.
Right.
Mike, there's not going to be a controversy.
I don't want a controversy.
Okay.
You're talking to one of your friends? They don't like it? F you and your families, too.
Now let's talk about the game.
Sir Charles.
All right, trying TV's Leah Remini to discuss her mother. With her mother.
That's right.
Mama C.
Hello?
Leah?
Yes?
Don and Mike?
Hello, okay.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, baby.
You want to try your mom now?
Oh, yeah, let's try it.
Okay. You want me to use the same number?
Oh, no, I think she's on her cell phone.
Okay, can you give that number to Robbie?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Leah's going to, she's on 444.
Leah?
Hi, Leah.
Remember?
It's Rob.
Uh-huh.
How you doing? Mm-hmm. God, you're cute.
Thanks for having us.
What are you doing?
Just talking sweet nothings to her.
Okay, thank
She's
you.
She's mine.
Yep. All right.
You want
thank you, Robbie. Okay, Leah, let me call your mom now.
All right.
Okay, hold on. Do, 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 do. Done.
Right.
Very good. Very good.
That was really...
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Up, woman. President of the United States, tough for to get in touch with.
What is wrong with her?
At the tone.
Oh.
Record your message. When you have finished recording...
We're going to leave her message?
Or press 1 for more options. Huh? To leave your callback number, press 5.
I'll leave her a message.
Go ahead.
Hi, Vicky. Vicky, Don from the Don and Mike Show. You know me, the guy who's got a lot of meanness in me. How you doing? I have your daughter, Leah, on the phone. Your daughter, who I think I was correct when I was telling you what a wonderful, nice, giving person she is, and how I appreciate the fact that she worked me into her TV show this week. And, Leah was asking me,
how I thought everybody treated me out there, and I had to be honest and say the one person that I thought treated me poorly was you.
And, Mom, we think we should talk about it.
And I'd love to discuss this with you on the radio.
Vicki, this is Mike. I was not in Los Angeles. I, too, have an enormous amount of love and respect for your daughter. And I think Don's just totally full of it on this particular issue.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
And Leah, your daughter, said that when you said to me, I'm full of meanness, even though, you know, hello, Vicki, you don't know me, that I should have said something back to you.
Well, no, that was nasty by going, hello, Vicki, you don't know me.
What?
That's kind of nasty to say that instead of going, right, exactly.
Wait a minute, hold on. It's nasty for me to say, Vicki, you don't know me?
Well, it sounds a little, it's a little confrontation. I mean, it's...
Wait a minute, hold on.
It's real serious.
Who started the confrontation?
Serious.
I'm telling your mother what a nice girl you are.
I wish this was live. I wish we had Mom on the phone.
She takes that compliment. She sits
there.
Did you
hang up yet with her?
No.
Hang up.
She takes... Why, don't you want her to hear all of this?
She's going
to
be irritated that we've left. She'll probably erase it. She'll be so annoyed.
All right. I'll hang up on her. Okay. All right. I hung up on your mom.
No, you didn't. Did you?
Yes, I did. I swear to God.
I guess.
Okay, so... I'm sitting there with your mother, making small talk, saying how nice you are. She says to me, you've got lots of meanness in you.
Oh, no, she didn't say it just like that.
She said, and that is an exact quote, you've got lots of meanness in you.
Wait, hang on. Is that my mom? Jamie?
Okay, so listen, that's Leah, I swear to God, that's a direct quote.
Mm-hmm.
You've got lots of meanness in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that I'm insulting your mom by saying, you don't know me?
Well,
how is that an insult?
She says these kinds of things to kind of get you going and, like, for you to be kind of lighthearted about it, you know, and go, yeah, so what, Vic? You know what I mean? Instead, you're
okay,
like...
Okay, I'm sorry. Listen,
you don't know me.
I don't know this woman. I'm sitting there having a conversation with her.
Yeah.
How would she react if let's... I'm a hypothetical situation.
Okay.
If she said that and Don looked at her and said, how dare you?
Yeah, right.
Would she laugh?
He in her pants.
She would laugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a handle
on it. Whatever sense of humor it is that your mom has, I don't think it's the mainstream sense of humor that people have. I mean, I'm trying to be, you know, polite to the lady.
Right. Well, my mother doesn't like polite.
Your
mother... what you did was you were being really serious. Like, really serious. Going, Vicki, well, you don't know me.
Yeah, right.
Something?
Hello? The bitch says to me, you're full of meanness.
What did you say?
The bitch says to me...
You just said bitch?
Yes.
You just called my mother a bitch?
Yes.
No, you don't say that.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. It's okay for her to say that to me?
Yes.
But I can't call her a bitch behind her back?
Exactly.
Why?
She said the bitch. She's not a bitch.
Okay.
Mike.
Well, hello?
Mike.
What? I'm over here. I'm here.
Admit that that was a little out of line.
Well, I.
All right, how would you?
How would you feel if my mother sat down with you and you were being nice to her and you were being complimentary about me, and then she said to you out of the blue, "You're full of meanness."
How would you react to that?
I go. Oh, I know. I go. Well, you've already noticed. You've noticed that already. Just from the short time you know me.
Now, you said, Leah, you said before that you've had, like, lifelong friends where you've had these discussions, right?
Right.
Before?
Right.
So this has come up before, right?
Right.
Okay.
And then
so it's all a question of how to handle
and when
your
I
mom.
Say, right. And when I say, you got to say, I know, Vicki, you're so right, or, yeah, Vicki, yeah, okay. You want to look in the mirror for a second?
Listen. Sorry, nobody gave me the Vicki rules. That's
right, but what I'm saying is you got a bit defensive and going, you don't know me, Vicki.
Well, I think one of the reasons for defensiveness is when you don't know somebody, you know, and when you don't know whether it's serious or not. That's the whole issue, I think, and that's why we've been asking those questions.
Let me say this,
too. People have said to me, I thought you were a bitch when I met you. I'd laugh and go, oh, my God, why? What did I do? You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't go, well, you don't know me.
Okay, when your mom... Okay, now you're going to hear the truth now.
But in fact, they probably do know me, and that's why they're saying that.
When your mom...
You're totally right.
When your mom said that to me, there was not the hint of a smile on her face.
That's my mother.
There was not The hint of humor. There was not the hint of sarcasm. It was said seriously.
Just like she sat in front of Kevin, and Kevin said, did you see me on Regis and Kathleen Lee? And my mother said, and by the way, get on your little button there because I'm about to say something. She said to Kevin, I think you're an asshole. And Kevin said, he didn't say, well, you don't know me.
Well, what did he...
He went, what do you mean, Vic? Why are you calling me that? Why are you saying I'm an asshole? And he's laughing.
Okay, all right, with that said, so you can...
And she goes, you are an asshole.
So you can understand that though someone who might be a little intimidated because they're on the set of a television show and wouldn't know that this kind of communication,
yeah,
which is exceedingly normal...
How am I supposed to know that?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. My mother is a very real person, and she says what's on her mind. And
She does so in a joking way, right? She does so in a joking way?
Yes.
But she's joking.
But she meant that because she felt like Kevin never talks about me when he does talk shows.
Okay, so she wasn't joking with Kevin.
No.
Okay, then.
But he wasn't upset. He went, well, you don't know me, Vicky.
So the way to play it is...
And listen, Leah, I didn't say it like that. I didn't say, you don't know me, Vicky. I just said, hey, Vicky, you don't know me.
Right.
That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was awkward silence, and I got up and left the room.
And you should have said, what do you mean, Vic? When have you ever seen me be mean to you? What are you talking about?
Hold on. What is the difference?
Honey, I haven't even begun. And then she would laugh.
What is the difference between saying... You don't know me, and whatever you just said.
Jackie, isn't like when somebody goes, I think you got some meanness in you, and the person goes, well, you don't know me. Isn't that like, do you see my point? I can't put it into words to Don.
No. I don't see your point when it's someone who I've met twice,
right,
who really doesn't know anything about me, who I've gone out of my way to be nice and social with. When they say that, I think you could go up to 100 people on the street and give them the same scenario, and they would have the same reaction I had. I really think so.
But, Don, if, first of all, you went out of your way to be nice. That's something that's not that she would perceive right off the bat. She doesn't want anybody to go out of their way to be nice.
Oh, right.
Because she feels that that's a social attitude. And my mother would rather you be real than nice to her because you have to. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
Excuse
room, me.
Hey, like, you always have an attitude. It's just your personality. I just want to know.
Like every rule of social behavior, how every other person in the goddamn world reacts with each other is fine, except your mom.
I didn't say that.
The way I was acting with your mom, by being polite and making nice conversation and saying how nice you are,
right,
that was right with everybody else in the world except your mom.
Yeah, but the fact that you also meant that when you said that to her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that when you were saying that, I mean, and that is the way you really feel. So in a way, it's being polite, but it's also being real. You understand that, right, when he's saying that to your mom?
Yeah, but I feel like maybe, Don, because you maybe see that you're not acting like 100% yourself when you are around her?
I think that's true.
What?
I mean, I know I didn't behave like myself when I was around. I was immediately very, very uptight
because that was a real moment. And
right,
whether you want to get a compliment from me or not, and you didn't every time on Friday, I tried to tell you, it was a gigantic deal to me to be out there, and I was out there because of you.
All right, well,
and I meant that sincerely.
I want my mother to apologize to you.
I don't want
you to have this bad feeling about her because she's a very funny woman.
Great.
You know, the first time we were out there, we had more fun. And your mom was part of that. There was some laughing. It was a little more lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the last time that both Don and I went out there, it was not as lighthearted. Would that be because we'd met her once before and she figured she could turn the edge up a little bit more?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe she was, trying to have some fun with you, Don.
It's scary, man. It's scary.
But it shouldn't be because she doesn't want to be considered Leah's mother. She wants people to want to talk to her because of Vicky, not because or be nice to her because she's Leah's mother.
Well, listen, I don't know her in any other circumstance, and it was
have been a little bit more sarcastic had you felt a little bit more comfortable being around her, not as my mother.
So
you see what I'm saying?
I think if we meet your mom again that the way to do it is to just be, try to be as sarcastic as we can with all that and respond to what the, if she gives us some of those things, to respond like, you know, oh, shut up.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right. See, obviously the problem's with me.
Who knew? But I'd still be scared to do it. I bet a lot of your friends are still scared to do it.
But
correct me
do.
If I'm wrong. Is that true? A lot of your friends are still scared to do it. Your mom's scary.
Yeah, but there is a fine line of being completely rude and obnoxious.
Right.
And of having good, clean fun and going, hey, Vic, let's back it down a notch. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's totally okay.
I'm not sure I understand.
You know, like Don going, the bitch, to me, was a little bit
crossing. I think that was, I know Don, and that was tweaked up for the radio, and
yeah.
That's, he doesn't mean that at all to you. Certainly not to you.
No, not to you. Absolutely not.
Well, it is to me, because it's my mother, and I don't consider my mother a bitch. I think she can be bitch.
And probably nobody would want to hear that about their own mother, right?
What?
And nobody would want to hear that about their own mother.
However, look at Leah, I'm sorry. I don't want to get in a fight with you, for goodness sakes. But what your mother said to me, I'll say it another way, it was bitchy.
That's different.
It was not friendly. It was not conversation in the way I was having a conversation with her. And if I was to meet anybody else's mother, I would
but
be exactly the same way.
I understand that you are... You think that was the most horrendous thing for somebody to say, but, I mean, have you ever said anything that was maybe not the right thing to say to somebody, or?
Well, listen, on the radio, sure.
Uh-huh. But you're a perfect person in real life, is what you're telling me.
In real life,
uh-huh.
Really, when I meet strangers,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Leah, I'm a polite person.
Right, and you've never not been polite, ever.
I have never said to anyone who I've met the third time, and I don't know, you're full of meanness.
You tell her to pick up her damn cell phone. We're calling her right now.
Oh,
got me in a web of crap.
Yeah, but it's real crap.
Tell her to hang up the damn phone, and we're going to call her right now.
It'd be wonderful closure.
It would be.
Because we're all, you know, we're having this discussion, and we're not the central character in all this.
I mean, yes. Have I been rude to people?
Tell her
absolutely.
To hang up the damn phone, and we're calling her live on the radio. The listeners want to hear.
They do. Leah is very sensitive to our listening audience.
That's damn right.
You nobody's more so. No,
right.
Of any guest
call
we've ever had on this show.
Call her on the show.
So let me see what your episode is tonight.
Call her on the show.
You know, they don't even give you the thing in USA Today that says what it is. It just says King of Queens.
I believe Ricky Lake joins the cast tonight.
Oh, is that the episode?
First
episode
is that tonight?
Of Ricky Lake tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
Ricky
good.
Lake
I want you to call me and tell me what you thought of the show.
Okay, we will.
Okay.
We shall.
Absolutely.
All right, come on.
I will be honest about that.
And I think it's cool the way you defend Mom. I like that. It's good. It's
well,
good.
She's my mom.
I know. It's good. It's the way you are with your family
four.
And your friends.
Oh, what? She's on line four.
Oh, Vicky's
all right.
On line.
All right, here we go.
All right, beautiful. Let's bring Leah's
listening
mother
on. For the last
start.
Minute.
What? Hello?
I've just been listening how, Leah, you feel just because I'm your mother, you feel you need to defend me?
No,
that's
Mom.
Why?
See what I'm telling you guys about the mother thing? Now, listen, Ma. Ma!
Don't you ma me.
Ma, you were very nasty to Don in the dressing room when he said...
I was not mean, and that's
very nice.
I want to show you where he's at. He's just trying to start trouble. That proves
ma,
where he's at, right?
This is
I didn't do it that badly.
Vicky, hold on. Here's the conversation. We're sitting in there, and I'm saying to you...
I heard her laugh.
Your daughter's wonderful. Your daughter's nice. Your daughter's not like all these other phony Hollywood... a-holes, and you said,
I
yes,
agreed.
And you said, that's right, and then there was a moment, and you looked at me, and you said, you're full of meanness.
I didn't say it in that context, and you're taking it totally out of context.
Okay.
Just because of that, I do not want to talk with you.
No, hold on. In what context did you say...
Oh, yeah, lighten up.
In what context did you say you're full of meanness?
I don't remember. Okay, Don. We were talking about our kids.
What? What I was telling Don was that if Don would have said, that's right, Vicky, I am, that you're very perceptive for seeing that so quickly and knowing me so well in such a short amount of time, you would have laughed and backed off, right?
Totally. Right.
Yeah, well, excuse me for being a normal person.
No, with, you're just being a man.
With normal feelings.
But, Mom, Don felt like he was trying to give me a compliment through
you. And I told him that he was totally correct about you.
Right, but then you turned around and you're like, what hey, I think, happened think with you have a little meanness in you.
No, because...
No, we were talking about you, and then we went on to Shannon, what a nice girl Shannon is, and then he started to tell me how nice his son is.
Yes,
right.
And then I said,
then you must have some niceness in you, too, because you do have some meanness in you.
Now, that's not exactly
how it
went.
And that was in the context that was all said.
Well, why did you have to say that little piece there, Mom? Were you just being a ball buster or what?
Of course. That's my nature, sweetheart. It's Miss Ballbuster. You know that.
That's what I told him, Mom.
So he said that
was mean of you to say because he was trying to give you a compliment and he was trying to start conversation because it was a little strained in there.
Yeah.
Start a little conversation.
Yeah, about Shannon and his son being...
Yeah.
And that went fine. And that went fine.
So
but,
I
you
think...
know, the truth of the matter is he doesn't really have a lot to talk about.
But the truth of the matter is...
Unless it's about mean stuff and making people...
Hold on, wait a minute.
Vicky, she's doing it to you again. You see, now, we're following the rules. You're absolutely right, Vicky. We have nothing to talk about except you on this show.
Let me tell you something, Vicky.
You see what you did there? You made a joke about what she just said. She laughed.
I just took the textbook primer. That's what she said. Right. As a matter of fact, we're planning a dedication to Vicky next week. It's going to be all Vicky all the time. Because we're not bright enough to have things to talk about.
And I'll have my own little talk show. That'll be fine.
And then maybe you could do most of the talking because Lord knows we're not bright enough to come up with a show.
Maybe this all really came from her lashing out because you have a line and she did not.
Well, I think she's probably insanely jealous.
Because my mother cannot act.
Probably totally jealous. And you're probably jealous of Don in general, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I'm jealous.
I'm sorry. Frankly, it's too much maintenance for me as a mother. You know what I mean? I go through this crap with my wife, but I'm not going to do it with Leah's mother. I'm going to play the rules according to Leah's mother.
Women are right, or always right.
Absolutely.
And that's the end of it.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay.
All right, Vicky.
Okay, well, it's great talking to you guys.
Mom.
What?
Say sorry to Don for her.
Is that what he wants?
Yeah.
Don.
Yeah.
This is Don, right? The mean one, right?
Yeah.
Don's the mean one.
I'm the mean one, and you're the real nice one.
Right.
You're the real nice one.
Nice.
Why don't you go get on your broom and fly back to wherever you're living?
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if that hurt your feelings. I was just doing it.
Okay, hold on. Vicky, I want to tell you something. That is not an acceptable apology.
When you say,
I'm sorry if that affected, if that hurt your feelings.
Yeah, Ma, you can't say sorry if that hurt your feelings.
Yeah, that's known as an apology qualifier.
I'm sorry. That's the New York way. What can I tell you? I'll do it another way.
And we know that, and we certainly know that's the seat of civility in America. That's for sure.
Don?
Yes, Vicky.
See the things that you're saying right now? That proves what I've been saying.
That was me that said the seat of civility.
That was Mike that said that.
I said that. That was me, Vicky.
Oh, that was Mikey.
Yes, it was no Mike.
Big Mike.
Don't you call me. Don't you call me Mikey.
Yes, Vicky.
Don,
yeah.
I'm truly sorry that I hurt your feelings.
Thank you. Apology not accepted.
Don.
Thank you. Vicky, now I am kidding. Thank you.
Oh, you did the right thing, Ma.
Yeah, thanks, Leah.
And you know, what are you mad at me for?
What I tell you.
Anyway, thanks for calling.
I think next time we're in Los Angeles, we have to all go out and party.
There you go.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Vicky. Thanks for coming on the show, Vicky.
I love you,
my pleasure. I love you, Leah.
Okay, Mama.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Vicky.
Right. That's good?
Yeah, Leah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But what I said was true, no? Yeah. You see how
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, just, stuff to her?
Now, that is
laughing.
The truth. Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody gave me the ABCs of your mom.
Now okay? You know.
Okay, now I know.
Right.
And it's actually once you know, it's pretty easy.
Yes.
And, you know, as far as giving us the rules, well, I'm sorry, but that would probably be your fault, Leah.
Why?
I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm doing what your mom does. And I want to apologize for not being there. I'm sorry at that.
Did you have fun at your little golf thing?
It was not little, Leah. It was big to me, and it was
sorry,
very,
darling,
it was very important.
That wasn't right of me.
But I would have, you know, it was tough. I was.
Could I hear what you said, please? Could we have a replay of what you said?
We don't have
could
the
we
tape.
Hear magic?
We don't have the tape, but Mike.
No, but he can do it live for you.
Leah, what part of New York are you originally from? So, because that's the Brooklyn. All right. Now representing the United States team, from Brooklyn, New York, Leah Remini.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you said Tiger, you got to say Tiger Woods.
From Orlando, Florida, Tiger Woods.
Did you say it just like that?
Yes.
You went Tiger, like that?
Yes, I did, Leah. Because my dookie was in a puckered state.
Was it?
So I said it that way because I was extremely nervous because the president was standing next to me.
I told you how excited he was about that.
Yeah,
I know.
It was very, very exciting, but I was so pissed off when I found out the scheduling about what was going on that I wasn't going to be able to do that because I was looking forward to it.
I know,
just as much as anybody.
You'll have another chance.
I'd love to hear that. Thank you very much, and I'm sorry I wasn't there. And you know, Don had a great time, and it's all because of you.
Thanks
and I hope
to
you.
Did Frida have a good time?
She had a fantastic time. Are you
she was
kidding?
Tired.
What?
She was tired.
She was tired. Yeah, of course she was tired. She had spending my money. She was there for a whole day before and a whole day after. Well, listen, you love you.
I love you guys. I'm
love you.
About that mom thing.
Don't worry. Everybody watch King of Queens tonight.
Absolutely. That all worked out for the best, Leah. Everything, we had total closure on today's program.
New episode tonight on King of Queens. Watch it. Ricky Lake.
Thank you, babe.
Make your own decision. And we should talk tomorrow.
Yeah, tell me what you thought.
Because I'll tell you really if she's good or not on the show.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll look at it with an open mind.
Yeah, and we should hear from some of your listeners, don't you think?
Yeah, if you'd like tomorrow, call in and you can get feedback from them. Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay, beautiful.
All right, baby.
Once again, thank you.
Okay, love you guys.
Love you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Leah.
Bye-bye.
She is.
You got a little taste of that Leah's mom there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a perfect example of everything that went on.
Yeah,
I thought when the B word came out, I thought it might have been all over there. I thought just at that moment, because you know how you get wound up when we're on the radio here.
I know.
I thought really, because there was that silence. And then who does she turn to immediately? She says to me, what did you think? And I'm going, Jesus, you know, try to extricate ourselves from that.
Let me just tell you, the itch bay word was just a nanosecond away from the unk bay word.
I know.
Okay?
You were restrained.
Mrs. C.
It was strained. But I think the one true thing is now you and I both know exactly how to deal with it all the way.
Hello, bitch. How you doing? Hello, bitch.
I don't think that's the right way.
She's a hellcat.
I think that might be a real problem.
Hi, Vicky. What was the makeup counter closed today? Hi, Vicky. Hey, don't let anybody tell you different. Overalls make a middle-aged woman look damn sexy. Hey, time out. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Leah's mother. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Broadcasting under the watchful eye of Carmi, the CBS hawk. It's Don and Mike.
Lisa, hey, come here for a second with the address of that website. Lisa just was showing me on her desk on the computer that she found a website where you can go to check out Dennis at the porno convention.
Oh, really?
So we should tell you this is an adult website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, be careful about going there.
I did download their schedule of events and also the rules of how the game is played, if you're interested.
How
I guess
beautiful.
Dennis is having such a good time that he's not able to mention anything to us.
Hi, Lisa, do you have that address?
Yeah, it's www.kingofpics.com. And when you scroll down, there's like 50-some live sex videos. They're numbered. It's like live sex video 012. And a big thing comes up, and it's a live feed a video from the porn convention.
From where Dennis is.
Yeah. Right. And what it looks like, you can see, I looked at it for a few minutes. And there's one woman laying on a table like an altar, and you see the guys in the back with their white T-shirts on, with the fluffer nutters in the background getting them ready because they're running like a train, like a gangbang.
Oh, my
God.
Gotcha.
You can see the convention stuff going on in the background.
Have you seen Dennis at all?
No.
Okay. So Dennis,
I'll keep watching.
Dennis isn't one of those guys in the white T-shirt.
No.
All right.
Here's the schedule of events at this porn convention. Contestants arrive, fastest face-off, hands-off a lingerie show, freestyle free-for-all, circle jerk.
Oh, dear.
Girl-to-girl rubdown, water sports free-for-all, the Roman orgy, the great vibe-off, blind man's muff, ladies' choice free-for-all, the great dildo scavenger hunt.
Oh, God.
Tie me up, lick me down, Kama Sutra twister, musical BJs, fetish time, musical menage a trois, dealer's choice, prop love, daisy chain, last chance to dance, solo time, and come together.
You know, I would venture to say everybody that's down there might want to plan a trip to the clinic after they come back.
Let me see. Here are the rules. 28 people, including Dennis Murphy, are sequestered in a palatial estate with no contact with the outside world. Two survivors walk out with a grand prize.
Maybe that's why Dennis hasn't called us. There's no contact with the outside world.
What happens in between is the most exciting 7 days ever broadcast. Two teams consisting of 14 adult film performers and 14 amateurs locked in seclusion in an exclusively private luxury estate. There they will live, eat, sleep, bathe, and play while engaged in a week-long, no-holds-barred sex competition. And it's up to you, the subscriber, to decide who survives each day and who must leave the house. That's right. Subscribers, I guess if you go to the website,
right,
will not only see the hot action, but will participate in the daily voting to eliminate one male and one female down to eight.
Well, that says nothing about, like, Mr. Softy or something like that.
I think that the voting is maybe to get rid of the pros.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure about that.
I think that's right.
You think that's right, Buzz?
Yes.
And then it's another contest.
Because if it's voting for your least favorite, I mean, Dennis is already out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I think that they're talking about to vote to keep the professional porn stars in or out of the competition.
All right.
And then Dennis is in a separate competition with regular guys to see who can go the longest without getting stiffy.
So maybe Dennis isn't in that house. Maybe Dennis is outside of the house and he has access to the outside world. There's the phone right now.
Hold on.
Hey.
Here he is now, Dennis Murphy from Mexico on line 444.
Very
Hello.
Good.
Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Mike, how you going?
Dennis, first want to say, saw the pictures on DennisMurphy.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful pictures of you and your Speedo.
Thank you.
How are things in Mexico?
Mexico is going great. So far, I have seen four film shots. And one of them was Ron Jeremy and this girl named Jessica.
Oh, Ron Jeremy was in the movie?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Isn't he like big, fat, sloppy?
Surprise.
Doesn't he have the hivy? Wasn't Ron Jeremy the guy
know.
That was trying to, or was he trying to make that
he
movie?
He was trying to make a movie with HIV positive people.
That's right. Okay.
Well, you have to have the test, so I'm keeping this clean.
Okay, so you're watching people have sex. Are they monitoring you to make sure that you don't get a stiffy?
Actually, they're not monitoring anybody. All it is 300 people who showed up to watch films. Who showed up to watch, people making films.
So they're not doing anything with you, Dennis? You're just there hanging out?
I'm just here hanging out. Anyways, I can't be in the film this time because I need to get the HIV test.
And you didn't get the test?
No.
Well, why don't you just have them call us, and we'll vouch to say we're pretty sure you don't have HIV.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, but so far, it's been unbelievable. One thing I saw was three girls killing each other.
So, Dennis, are you or are you not in the competition to see the guy who could remain the softest?
Well, actually, there's no competition. All it is 300 guys here watching film being made.
So what do you guys do while the film? You just stand around while they're making the movies?
Yeah, we just stand around watching make a movie and,
You know what? We're going to have to get the guy who put this promotion together on
That's
the
Ron
air
Jeremy.
Tomorrow.
That's Ron Jeremy.
No, it's not Ron Jeremy.
I thought it was Ron Jeremy.
The guy who we talked to on the phone that day.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. That's right.
Because that guy sold us on the whole concept that there were going to be regular guys watching this, and the guy who could remain flaccid the longest amount of time would be featured in the next porno.
Yeah. That's what I was... when you all told me, I thought that what it was. But all it is just 300 guys just watching really a film being made.
Does anything go on, Dennis, while they're watching the movies be made?
Oh yeah, you get to see the kids.
You get to see the jizz.
So there's that.
All right, well, Dennis, call us tomorrow because we're going to have to call the promoter on this to find out exactly what the deal is, because this is not why eGars.com, the best cigar site on the planet, paid to send you down there.
I know eGars.com was taken like I was.
Well, I'm not sure if they were taken yet.
Yeah, you don't want to throw those accusations out just yet, Dennis.
Okay, I'm a guessing. But for you, they're all film being made here, so we're not seeing anything. We're seeing women.
All right, okay.
Hold on. Jesus Christ.
Once again, he's continuing.
You know,
descent of his on air presentation.
Something tells me that there's a more than good chance that competition is going on.
Yeah, and that Dennis is just being herded into the group of 300 guys.
Right, that Dennis is just oblivious, and he's there with the 300 losers who have paid.
Where Dennis should probably be in a different location.
Right.
Like maybe in that mansion.
Yeah, because, hold on, let me get, what did I just do with those papers? Did I throw them away?
He's right about what you see, I can tell you that much.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
You know, I mean, I like a good movie as much as the next guy.
Hold on. Two teams consisting of 14 adult performers and 14 amateurs will be locked in seclusion. That's the deal Dennis is supposed to be in.
All right, and that's okay if that's the deal. Then, you know, the thing about the flaccid, that's not as important to me. But Dennis has got to be part of the exclusive group, the amateurs.
Right, he shouldn't just be there with the 300 loser horny guys.
And what's this about an HIV test? Did they just blow him off because of that?
I don't know.
So to speak. Buzz, what I was going to say, I like a movie as much as the next guy, but is it gross? It sounds gross.
Well, right now...
It really does. As much as I like it, it just sounds gross.
Right now, I'm looking at what looks like a racetrack diner with black and white checkered floor and tables, and on the table is a lady with silicone breasts, and a bunch of guys are standing around, and they're taking their turns. We're seeing right now.
All right, well, you know what? We're going to have to call the promoter of this on tomorrow's show to find out why we're not getting our money's worth and if the problem is there or if the problem is just, and I would bet on this, that Dennis just showed up and they said, are you with the 300 guys? And he went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he sounds a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Shocker.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll handle that tomorrow.
Very good.
Now, one last thing, because we're running so late, we got to go to Buzz. There has been a lady on the phone who's been waiting on hold. Is this Suzanne?
Yes, it is.
Hi, sweetie. How long have you been waiting on hold?
Since 3:15.
Oh, all right, so she's been on for
for
3.5 hours.
Wow.
What can we do for you?
Okay, well, I kind of have a problem. And first of all, I wanted to offer my services to, is it Don or Mike that just had the EKG?
It's a Mike.
Yeah, I had a little cardio test.
Yeah, and you have a sore chest.
Yeah.
Because I do massage, and of course that's an excellent way of relieving pain and stress and
Sounds like you.
Okay, well, yeah, listen, Suzanne, really, what can we do?
Anyway, the reason that I called is you guys, I respect your opinions, and I've been dating a man for about 7 months now.
Yes.
And everything was going, you know, really well. We dated a couple of months, and then I had some of the most fantastic sex that I've ever had in my life.
Right.
Uh-huh. And everything was going really well. And then we went away for a weekend in Virginia, and then we went away for a weekend at the beach. And then he starts telling me, like, 101 reasons why this relationship will never work.
And we can help you how?
By telling me, because, like, some of my friends say, oh, he's just scared, you know, because he's certain.
No, honey, he's dumping you.
Pardon me?
He's dumping you.
Well, but then why does he still want to go out and we still see each other?
He probably is using you for sex.
Right. You're a good lane.
How about I'm using him for sex?
You're an easy lane.
If that's the case, if you're using him for sex, then that's fine that he still wants to see you. But
he's the one who's coming up with the thought that there's 101 reasons why this won't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Now do people understand how those amateur psychologists on the radio work? They just make it up, too.
Yeah. Sure. Well, listen, no, this is common sense. You've been banging this guy for 7 months, and he's probably decided he doesn't want the day-to-day maintenance.
You know, you could spin it any way you want, though. You could say, he's so in love with you that he just simply can't face the fact that he wants to be committed to you. He's terrified.
No, but the truth really probably is, you've been banging this girl, you know, and now he's just finally to the point where he says, listen, why do I have to do all this crap, like talk to her and take her to movies and ask her questions? I just want to just have sex with her.
You know, there's a meanness in you.
Because when we started out, you know, I told him that I've been in some bad relationships in the past. And I've often said, why can't I find a man? I think like a man. Sometimes I just want to go out, have somebody who is phenomenal at sex. But, you know, I don't wake up with them.
Right.
You know, it's like I can just go home and go to bed and, you know.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
The celebrity, Bette Midler.
Well, maybe you should be happier with a man.
Yeah.
I am happy with a man.
Well, use him for sex.
Yes.
Use him as like.
All the time he says he's my toy.
Yeah.
Well, then, right. Then, listen, forget about a relationship.
As long as he wants to be a toy, that's fine.
He's going
to
have sex with him.
Just have sex with him.
Right.
Ah.
Okay?
Thank you.
This is the key.
Thank you. Oh, listen, is this Juicy Lucy?
No.
No.
Okay. I'm just double checking.
Wendell's girlfriend.
Wendell's toy.
She's all right.
Bye-bye. See you later.
My God, that's right.
Bye-bye.
Right?
That was worth hanging on hold for 3 hours and 15 minutes, though.
Those were all the same criteria, though. She was a masseuse.
Uh-huh. Right.
She loves sex.
Yep. Correct.
And she's going out with a guy that, like, says, you're just using me for sex, and that's really kind of what Wendell's saying.
Let's go with a Guy Birdley now.
Kennedy Lincoln.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Very sore.
He made it up.
What is your lead story tonight on the news and comments?
Tonight, a close shave for Mrs. Bush.
Woo! Wow. Really?
Really.
Shave down there?
No, not that kind of shave.
And hold on, Homo Joe wants to say something. Homo Joe.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Homo Joe here.
I just want to let you know, tomorrow night we're going to do the high heel race, Cheryl the Big Dyke and myself, and we'll put that on video so everybody can see who we interviewed. So it's kind of interesting and fun.
Wonderful, that's a great event.
Now, are you going to put that on your website?
Yes.
That would be homojoe.com.
Homojoe.com.
All right, beautiful. Where's this happening, Joe?
It's going to happen in Washington, D.C. on 17th Street. It starts at JR's. It starts on Q Street and goes up to S Street. It's like a four-block run, but everybody's in high heels.
And this is a big pro-gay run where men and women will be running. And children. Oh, and children.
All right.
Will be running through the streets of D.C. with high-heeled shoes on.
And some in costumes, which are kind of festive.
Lovely festive costumes.
Yes, indeed.
Will you be wearing a costume, Joe?
I just might be there. I might be the flying nun.
You know, it's about time you put on a costume. You usually like to play it, pardon me, straight.
Yes.
But why don't you try a costume this year?
I think I will. The next Las Vegas style, I think I might shock you with a costume as well.
All right, Joseph, and what time does this event start tomorrow?
It starts at 9 p.m. tomorrow night.
Beautiful. All right, and see all the pictures on Homo Joe. .com. And do you have, the directions and stuff on your website?
Yes, I do.
All right, beautiful. There's your plug. Bye, Joe.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
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 Whew, I'm worn out from that segment.
You should be.
Let's go right to Buzz News Comments right after this. But first, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
tired and sore professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That was your Wendell Hall, right?
Thank you.
Constantly pursuing the slick-faced hair shark, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Buzz, yes. One quick call.
Okay.
Juicy Lucy would like to make a response.
Oh, she should. Juicy Lucy?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, honey.
Do I sound that pathetic like that caller?
No, now that I hear your voice, not at all.
Okay,
not at the least.
Thank you.
No,
all right. Absolutely. I just want to say she sounded like a retard, and if I sound like that, I never want to call.
Juicy Lucy, I was just my attempt to make a joke, to bring some levity to the situation.
You're a sweet lady, Juicy Lucy. Are you still involved with our own? Are you still involved with our own Wendell Hall?
Yes, I am.
Is he still giving you a high hard one?
Yeah.
Does he still spend most of his day tired and sore?
That's right. Yeah.
Has he spent more time like eating meals with you and talking with you?
Yeah, although I do have a complaint about Wendell, but, you know, I called the show last week, and Charlie Broyhill would not let me talk about what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, what's your complaint with our engineer, Wendell Hall?
Well, I don't want to get you guys in trouble, but Wendell Hall gave me honeymooner cystitis.
He gave you what?
Oh, boy.
Which then turned into a horrible bladder infection. And I called last week, or...
Oh, dear.
I was bleeding. I was...
Oh,
blood.
No. Oh, dear.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I was very upset.
See, out of respect for Wendell, I wanted to keep this person off the air.
Oh, thank you.
No,
you're not. I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't know
what
you're talking about.
I agree. Is that something we don't want to...
Well, basically, I think it's because she doesn't clean herself after sex.
Oh. Oh, my. Okay.
Okay, well, I guess we've heard both...
Maybe for sex.
What do you have? Like, is it a yeast infection?
No, it was a urinary tract infection that got so bad, it became a bladder infection. I was peeing blood, and I felt your pain, Don, about peeing blood. And if I didn't take care of it soon, it would have gone to my kidneys, and I would have been in your condition.
Wow.
But on a brighter note...
I was in a lot of pain.
On a brighter note, how was the pizza that Wendell made you the other night?
It was fabulous.
What?
Wendell kicks ass. Besides that, everything is great.
Okay. Are you sure Wendell gave that to you? That wasn't just something that...
Yeah, that's not something I don't think... that's something... I don't know anything about it, but I don't think it's something you give somebody.
Well, no, he didn't give it to me.
It's funny. When you come out with a big name about something and you say he gave it to you, it sounds bad for Wendell.
I think it was also because, you know, I work a lot, I just did enough rest and things like that, but...
Well, your immune system gets a little down.
Right.
What is the name of that thing? Just out of curiosity. Can you throw that name out again?
Honeymooner cystitis?
Honeymooner cystitis?
Yeah, that's what doctors and nurses call just a urinary tract infection, because you get it from too much sex.
All right. See, now, in that regard...
Now, you put it in that context. You know, when you first said it, Don and I both believed each other because we didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
I'm thinking,
but Wendell had something, right, passed it along to you.
Wendell doesn't have anything. It's just from too much, you know, friction.
So he did... All right, so you can say that he did give it to you by giving it to you so much.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
Not so much that he gave it to her as much as she took it.
There you go.
There's two parts to play there.
I give Charlie credit. You know, Charlie was just trying to protect Wendell.
And I understand,
like
Charlie, but I was home in bed 3 days. I could not move. I was in so much pain.
Have you ever thought that maybe you might want to say no once in a while?
Who can
never ever think that.
And don't you think that spending so much time in bed...
Who can say no to sex with Wendell Hall?
That's right,
Don. Right.
I've never been able to.
You are absolutely right.
I mean, think about it. But I was thinking, if you thought I was a woman on the phone before...
Juicy Lucy was a joke. Just a joke.
Yeah, and it's and we know how you're
crazy about him. Do you still love him?
Yes.
Yeah, she does.
Wendell hasn't gotten an infection, has he?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Juicy Lucy.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for calling, honey.
All right.
Well, I was saying it jokingly before, but now I understand it. Tired and sore.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Gene. I just wanted to call you and let you guys know my girlfriend has the same problem. It has to do with certain male bacteria can cause women to have bad reactions and stuff like that.
You know, between looking at that website and hearing these calls, I'm about to barf right now. I really, really am.
All I know is that Wendell is a sex machine.
He's an animal.
As am I.
Wendell Hall. Oh, as are you.
Yeah, right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Everybody wash, by the way.
See, I thought Wendell was on one of these lines. Maybe he's on this one. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, bud.
Ah, here you go. No problem talking about sex with this guy. Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, guys.
You know, we have to thank Tom Gavin.
Yes, absolutely.
When we came into work today, there was a box from...
Stadium Store from JJ from... You guys used to work at RFK?
The Stadium Store, which is a store in D.C. that sells all kinds of Redskins stuff, and they sent us... two beautiful Redskins jackets, and they mentioned the reason that they sent them was because of Tom Gavin.
Wow. Tom Gavin told them we're big Redskins fans, and we got those jackets because of you, Tom. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
You're a good man, Tom Gavin, and I'm looking forward to taking you out to lunch.
How do you spell jacket?
J-A-C-K-E-Y.
Perfect. Jack A.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Tom. Hello, Don and Mike show.
He had it all the way to the end.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
We're great, thanks.
Okay, I just want to tell you everybody's giving you misinformation about honeymoon cystitis.
Yeah.
It's caused by the woman herself. We all have bacteria in it. So when you have sex, it gets pushed into the bladder, and that's the cystitis. But my doctor told me...
Now, who's going to want to have sex ever again after this?
No. There's a way that you can stop it completely. 1 hour after you have sex, you take a prescription of one capsule of ampicillin, 500 milligrams, and you won't have it.
Okay, honey, whatever. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
And have a homemade pizza.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Hey, we're great, thanks.
We're just a little tired and sore.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, all these women need to do is wash and pee.
Mm-hmm. Wash and pee.
All right, thank you. I think that
that's the restaurant that Rob and I are opening, the Wash and Pee.
Right next to the old B&Q.
And for the rest of the show, I think we're going to call this disease Vickyitis. In tribute to Leah's mother.
Bravo.
Now, Buzz, we have no time for news there. Uh-huh. Let me do this. We'll come back. We still have plenty of the regular segments for the news and comment right after this.
All right.
Right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
We'll be here in D.C. tomorrow. Be in Gotham on Wednesday and Thursday.
Gotham.
From WNEW. Mike and I go on the World Series on Wednesday night.
The big game.
And a special live New York show that we will talk about more tomorrow, involving everybody coming down to WNEW on Thursday.
And the series returns to Shea tomorrow night, I believe.
Right. Tuesday night, Wednesday night at Shea.
Fantastic.
Let's go Mets. Here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Laura Bush, wife of George W., says she knew there was trouble when the oxygen masks dropped. A cabin pressure problem caused a plane carrying the Republican candidate's wives to make an unscheduled landing today in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Miss Bush.
Mrs. Bush says no one was really frightened, but she says they did use those oxygen masks. After a three-hour layover, the candidate's wives were on a different plane headed for Wisconsin.
Oh. It's those pilots using that fuzzy mask.
They're the oxygen mask. And it could have been worse. They could have been on the plane that carried the Arizona State football team home on Saturday. That plane got hit by lightning twice on its way home from Washington State. But the storms were just north of Phoenix. The first bolt hit the plane in a blinding flash of white light, and then the cabin went dark.
No!
10 minutes later, a second bolt. This one blue and orange.
No!
When the plane landed, the players cheered for their safety, of course.
Oh, okay. You meant the color was blue and orange.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought the lightning bolt had done something unusual.
Well, it did, actually.
Okay.
Because they all got out of the airplane, and the pilot took a flashlight and shone it around the plane until he discovered the hole in the tail section of the plane that was apparently put there by the lightning.
Mm.
The airline says not really a hole.
Well, what is it? It's a hole, right?
It's, well, the airline says it's some rivets. Some rivets got burned out. The pilot says it's a hole.
And then the lightning bolt blew an orange.
A six-hour computer failure delayed a string of flights out of Northern California and Nevada airports today. At San Francisco, 120 flights were delayed. 38 flights out of Oakland, 25 more out of San Jose, and flights out of Sacramento and Reno were delayed as well.
Now, is this the same thing that effed up the people flying on the West Coast on Friday night?
Similar but different. This breakdown apparently happened during regular maintenance. Last Thursday, a similar cause for a similar problem in Los Angeles and the southwestern United States.
Well, I have the name for a guy who can handle any situation. What's our new chief engineer's name?
Mike Friedman.
Mike Friedman. He's on the case, and he's had a great first day.
He's great under fire.
Absolutely.
Welcome to our world, Mike. The trial of former NFL player Ray Carruth opened today in Charlotte, North Carolina, and on Court TV. And that's why Carruth's co-defendants may be denied access to the cable. Defense lawyers asked the judge to move all three co-defendants to a jail where there is no court TV. Carruth, a former member of the Carolina Panthers, is charged with first-degree murder and the death of a woman who was pregnant with his baby. The baby survived. And the fans are excited about more than just the game in Philadelphia. Yesterday, police there say they seized $25,000 worth of laughing gas. There's no law against possession of nitrous oxide in Pennsylvania, but police say they busted... There's the Philadelphia crowd now.
It's the happiest crowd I've ever seen. Yeah.
Hey, it's an Eagles fumble.
Oh, Jonathan McNabb got sacked on that play.
Police say they busted the sellers using vending laws. A balloon full of nitrous was going for $5, and police say inhaling the stuff is becoming increasingly popular at Eagles games.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, he's a little Hercules. Show me muscle again. Oh, Hercules, 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 Hercules.
They both prefer masturbating in the morning.
Sure do.
Don and Mike.
And now here is Buzz Burbank.
Will the real Lisa Marie Presley please stand up?
I wonder if. Wilson tonight, welcome to our world.
A Swedish woman claims she's the real Lisa Marie. And
welcome to my world.
She's being sued because she won't take a DNA test.
Won't you come on in?
Come on, honey, let Daddy scrape some of that dirt under your fingernails right now.
Miracle.
DNA test. You know, I always like it now. When you take it up to that one part. The very last one.
Built with you in mind.
Yeah. Are you Lisa Marie or a faker?
Leave your kids behind.
About time we get a DNA test.
Welcome to our world.
And this DNA test, of course, is built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
Well, the Swedish Lisa Marie is being sued by a publishing firm for claiming in her 1998 autobiography that she's Elvis's daughter and that the other woman is an imposter. The book is called I, Lisa Marie, and the publisher says it would have sold millions of copies if she'd just taken the darn DNA test.
Mm-hmm.
So the publisher's suing for $50 million. The author claims that after Elvis died in 77, Scylla took 9-year-old Lisa Marie to Sweden because she was afraid of kidnappers. Graceland has no comment.
You know, of all the people you're going to do, look at Lisa Marie, okay? She is Elvis. Come on.
Yes, she is. Robert Downey Jr. isn't the only troubled actor joining the already troubled cast of Ally McBeal. Now comes word that Anne Heche will have a comedic role in 3 upcoming episodes.
I've still got it for you, Anne.
I bet she'll look good on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm sure. Singer Liza Minnelli is no longer in grave condition with a deadly brain disease. Now she's said to be recovering well and expecting to be sent home in a couple of days.
I'm sorry, she was an Arthur.
That's right. Minnelli reportedly has encephalitis. Her bodyguard found her October 8th with what he believed at the time was a stroke. Paramedics took her to a Fort Lauderdale hospital where she went in and out of a coma. She was released a week ago today but rushed back to the hospital again last Thursday. Encephalitis is a rare disease, only affects about 1,500 people a year worldwide. Most people get it from a mosquito or other insect bite. Minnelli's condition was said to be so serious, her sister Lorna Luft was rushed to her bedside. The two of them haven't spoken for years, mostly because of things Lorna said publicly about their mother, the late Judy Garland.
Nasty.
Yes, it is.
I'm not feeling well.
I say it. Actress Lauren Hutton has a rash of injuries after a motorcycle crack up in southern Nevada over the weekend.
Stop it, Buzz.
The 55-year-old was part of a group of celebrities riding for an art charity. Mm-hmm. Easy Rider's Dennis Hopper was also part of the group along with actor Jeremy Irons. Hutton was listed in serious condition.
Klaus von Bülow, Don.
Yeah, my man.
She had the...
I mean, not Klaus von Bülow.
Jeremy Irons.
No, listen. Klaus von Bülow, an innocent man.
Just like O.J.
Sure.
Multiple leg fractures, scrapes, and bruises after she ran off the road near Las Vegas. USA Today says Hutton was considered one of the world's first supermodels, appearing on the cover of Vogue a record 25 times.
Really? Do you think it helped her teeth?
She has a big gap.
No, she has, like, you know those fake teeth that you buy, those hillbilly teeth?
Right.
She has teeth like that.
Bigger gap than Letterman.
Right.
The longest talent strike. There's nothing wrong with having one of those, by the way.
Yeah, Buzz has one.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I never noticed that. You do.
Not as pronounced as the rest of them.
Right.
The longest talent strike in Hollywood history appears to be over. Performance and the Screen Actors Guild have reached a tentative agreement with the advertising industry. The dispute was over the pay scale for TV commercials, especially commercials that run again later, and those that turn up on the Internet. The Screen Actors Guild, or SAG, is part of the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and together they represent some 135,000 actors.
I had an interesting discussion about that with Leah on Friday.
About the union?
When she was discussing her latest Quaker State commercial.
What'd she say?
And I asked her how she felt about that, and she said, F you.
She did.
Right. One more, please, Buzz.
You wouldn't expect to find a string of profanities in a Toy Story video, but then that's why parents in the Midwest are taking their DVDs back to Costco. Disney Home Video is recalling some Toy Story 2 DVDs after some of the G-rated discs were found to include some R-rated language from the grown-ups movie High Fidelity. In England, meanwhile, a 9-year-old girl has discovered a serious goof in one of the Harry Potter books. The girl says the latter part of Goblet of Fire mistakenly refers to a villain who actually vanished earlier in the book. The discovery prompted the publisher to correct the mistake in later editions of the book.
Gotcha. So, Cappers, right there, time for a call 100. What, are we going to hear from Harry Potter?
Hi there. I'm real sorry I screwed up the latest book for all my London fans. That's fantastic. And I'd like to apologize to the lady that's got honeymoon cystitis.
Time for a call 100 now. Phone number 877-366-3636.
I have honeymoon cystitis myself.
And if you're calling from New York, call 877-692-1027.
I'm peeing blood.
Call 100 on either number. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Courageous, if you please. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, kids. Starting tomorrow. For those of you in the D.C. Metro, we're giving away tickets to see the Redskins play Tennessee on Monday Night Football. Dress in your favorite Halloween costume. Go to the special Halloween haunted house located between Stadium Exits D and E between 6 and halftime on Monday night. The best adult costume with 2 tickets, round trip air, hotel to Arizona. See the Redskins play the Cardinals November 5th. Rob Bay will be at the stadium Monday night.
Hey, all right, Rob. Hey.
The official judge of the Halloween costume contest. And on Friday's episode...
Don't beat him up, kids.
You can win a trip for two to Rome, Italy. The ultimate James Bond collection, now available on VHS and DVD. Good. 6 classic 007 titles are now available, including Octopussy, Diamonds Are Forever, You Only Live Twice, View to a Kill from Russia with Love, and The Living Daylights.
Octopussy.
I won't mention the fact that you're wearing a jacket with a hood,
yes,
and the hood is pulled up all the way over your face.
It's extremely comfortable, and I want to thank my friend Tom Gavin for getting me this jacket. And it looks good on you. Thank you. I feel very good like this.
He has the string
around the neck pulled so tight,
so tight
that there's a very tiny hole for your face to come through.
But fortunately, my mouth is I have room to breathe and to see, and I can see all of you, just in case you were wondering. I can see each of you. It's a nice parka. Thanks, Tom. Thank you, Tom Gavin.
Very handsome.
Very nice.
In sports, this just in, baseball is starting an investigation into Roger Clemens. The game's officials want to know more about his talking of a bat barrel toward Met catcher Mike Piazza during game two
of
the World Series.
Let's bring him out during Tuesday night's game and string him up.
Umpires did not eject the Yankees pitcher, but Sandy Alderson, executive vice president of baseball operations in the commissioner's office, has not ruled out discipline. Rick Reed will pitch for the Mets and Orlando El Duque Hernandez for the Yankees when the World Series resumes at Shea Stadium tomorrow night.
Let's go, Mets.
The Yanks lead 2-0 after a 6-5 win last night behind 8 innings of shutout pitching by the aforementioned Roger Clemens.
What is that for? El Duque?
El Duque.
El Duque.
Ladies and gentlemen, El Duque.
It's a traditional travel day for the Subway Series, but the New York Jets host the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. Both teams are 5-1, battling it out for first place in the AFC East.
Come on, Mets. No ass. Really. Win tomorrow. Win Wednesday. I don't care which day you win.
Do it for Donnie.
I just don't want to have to sit on the toilet on Thursday.
I hope I win that bet.
Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for the team you're not rooting for.
Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for the team I'm rooting for the team that's...
Don't you think you should say the name of the team you're rooting for?
I don't know
for?
Why that... We have the bet. I'm not sure why that's necessary to say that, but if you want... I'm not really rooting, but I'd like to see them win, because if they win, I will win the bet.
Who did you bet on?
I bet on the...
the who?
The Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yes.
And as I recall, that was after I gave you choice of
yes.
which team you
that's
wanted
right.
to pull for.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I chose the Yankees. I thought the Yankees would win the World Series, and I stand by that. Thank you. And I love this parka.
Great parka, Mike.
I really do. It's nice and toasty. Yes, but I am. I did pick the Yankees to win, and I stand by that bet.
There you go.
Let's go Mets.
You have the luxury of being able to do that. I confronted some of my fellow Red Sox fans over the weekend.
They were not happy.
They weren't happy with me.
The Arizona Cardinals have fired head coach Vince Tobin. The Cards are last in the NFC East with a 2-5 record. Yesterday, they lost to the Dallas Cowboys 48-7. Tobin's been the team's head coach since February 96. He led them to the playoffs once, but otherwise his record's been 29-44. He's replaced for the rest of the season by defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis. The Baltimore Ravens are changing quarterbacks. Trent Dilfer will start Sunday against Pittsburgh. The Ravens have gone 4 straight games without a touchdown. Dilfer was a starter 76 times with Tampa Bay before signing with Baltimore as a free agent in March.
He's a big retard.
After losing to the Washington Redskins,
really is.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have lost right tackle Zach Weigert for the rest of the season. He has a torn ligament in his left knee. The Jags are plagued with a half dozen other injuries as well. The Washington Capitals, who've won only one of their first 7 games this NHL season, have finally sealed a contract with their leading scorer from last season. Chris Simon gets a 2-year deal worth $4.5 million. He had a team-high 29 goals and 20 assists last season. He also led the team in penalties.
Who gave you a subscription to the Sporting News? Let's get out of here.
All right. Okay. Andrew Gallott is out of the hospital. And finally, from our That's Gonna Leave a Mark department... The Czech Republic of Prague, a couple making love in a peaceful meadow, got run over by a tractor.
Oh, that's not funny.
The farmer says he didn't notice the couple, and obviously they didn't notice him. All three tried to cover up the incident until doctors identified the tractor's tire marks on the woman's breast and the man's buttocks.
Yeah. Next question.
Two people plowing that day.
I'm Buzz Brubeck on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Thank you, Buzz.
No.
That's it, Mike. We gotta go. Call 100 right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Call 100.
Right? Yes, you are. What's your name?
John Joplin.
Johnny, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rochester, New York. You just made my day.
Johnny, you won a DVD copy of A View to a Kill.
Very cool.
The Ultimate James Bond Collection, now available VHS, DVD. 6 classic 007 titles now available. And we thank you for listening.
Thank you, my God.
And tomorrow we'll announce the name of whoever won the prize tonight.
WNEW. That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Now, Robbie, please, trusted friend, throw your beret in the air, just like Sydney. Tyler. More.
You might make it
all right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Come on, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Can we meet again? Sunny Davis here, you're saying, yeah. Be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.